Want to participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Just people.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Just people.
Stop on the run. Stop on the run. Can't help.
Just people.
Stop on the run.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
That's not the run. Stop on the run.
All right, kids, who's the man who said to me yesterday, the Skims are only a game out of first place?
There you go.
That's right. I'll be the first to say it. Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Super Bowl and all the ships at sea. Just last year, these two guys donned shorts and sneakers and taught me how to do radio. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie.
There you go.
And hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike show, a new episode on this
Monday. October 29er.
Wow.
Coming to you today, once again, from our home city, the most powerful city in the world, Washington, D.C. And here are your phone numbers for direct contact. National number 877-365-3636. D.C., your number 202-432-1067. What can I say about the boy in the next room?
Just people.
Just people. There he is, radio's Guy Burnley. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hello, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi, and good morning. Got tons of stuff. An action-packed show for you today.
Oh, yeah.
Don and Mike show.
Yeah. Sam yeah. Hoff.
What? Hello, what?
This is Sam Hoff. Can I have my 5 minutes now, you egomaniac?
Oh, listen to this.
Well, now...
What did I miss?
This is going to be hard to explain. You know, even though I don't host the Redskins pregame show anymore because of the other stuff that I'm doing.
Right.
I still do my commentary, like 5 minutes where I say how bad the Redskins suck every week. Well, yesterday, I boldly said, there's no way the Redskins are going to beat the Giants.
Right. Right.
The Giants are going to be a big winner. And I think you know that Sam Huff.
Just people.
He's just a man.
He hates me.
He doesn't like you.
There's no two ways around it. He's civil towards me. He's pleasant towards me, but I know.
No, it's just a long history.
And I know the fact that I'm involved in the broadcast, and now I'm actually in the broadcast booth, like directing the Redskins broadcast.
Right.
He hates it. So I got on the air yesterday, and I said, I got a wager for the Redskins. I don't think you guys could win. I think the Giants are going to win the game. If the Giants beat the Redskins, I will give like 6 or 7 minutes at the beginning of the pregame show. Next week, I will give that time up to Sam Huff.
Very good.
And Sam Huff can have 7 minutes to go off on me.
Okay.
He can have my time.
Is he aware of this wager?
Yes, I was there in the booth.
Well, no, I tried to explain it to Sam.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I don't know if you were listening to the Redskins broadcast yesterday. I tried to explain the concept to Sam.
The concept of the wager?
On the air. I don't know if Sam got it.
Huh. So you...
Well, that was before the cocktail hour, so I have to be excused.
Oh, now, hold on. You still pretending to be Sam Huff?
Yes, he is.
Okay, drop the charade for just a second.
Okay, all right. Okay. It was just the funniest thing, because he was so ready to tear into you right there.
Yeah. So if Sam, in fact, I'm a man of my word.
Yes,
when I lose a bet, I lose a bet. be listening to the Redskins broadcast next week against Seattle. I'm going to give up my broadcast time to Sam and let him cut me open.
Well, Sam's commentary.
And yeah. I hear Dan Schneider's talking to Ron Wolf now, too.
Yeah. No, now, listen.
Might be gone.
That's the other bet that I made. If the Redskins were to hire this guy, Ron Wolf, who I think should be their general manager,
right.
I would totally quit my job with the Redskins.
Wow.
Really? I would totally quit, but that's not going to happen.
Well, that would step on Marty's toes, right?
Yes,
it would. I mean, because Marty's not only the head coach, but he's the general manager, too.
That's right.
He runs the whole operation.
So,
winning
hey,
head coach.
How about those Giants yesterday, huh?
Hey.
How about those Giants, huh?
Just people.
I
not a good day for the city of New York.
I refuse to give the Redskins credit because the Giants played like crap.
Oh, come, wait a second.
The Giants played like crap yesterday.
So, finally, somebody else played like crap.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, everybody in the NFC East plays like crap.
When did that turn into the garbage division of the NFL?
Here's the deal, really.
John started doing the radio for the Redskins.
Jeez. Oh, no. Hey, listen, F you. They made it all the way to the championship game one year when I was doing the broadcast. Don't blame me, man.
Well, Don, you are arrogant, but you are so darn good-looking.
See, all this, you had to be listening to the show yesterday. You had to be listening to Redskins show. Right. Thank you for the call.
Have a good one.
See you later, my friend.
He enjoyed it.
Yeah, don't blame me, man. Blame Snyder. Who's coming on the show again today?
Oh, my God. Is he going to be arrogant today?
He's sure. Just people.
Just people. People.
Yeah, what's funny is the fact that the Redskins won two games, and they're a game out of first place.
That well, is and funny. Then there's new hope. I mean, now, yeah, it's that's how crappy that division
because
is.
The Giants suck ass, and the Eagles suck ass.
These are two teams, especially the Eagles, who were supposed to be much better this year, and now it's the whole division just bites.
And the Cowboys suck ass, and Arizona sucks ass. And
so really, technically, I mean, technically, the Redskins could go on a bit of a roll and elevate themselves to be one of the premier teams now in the NFC East based on the other team's performances.
Yeah, they might win six or seven games and actually win the division this year.
I saw the jacket, right. Buzz.
Yes, I support it. I'm on the bandwagon.
Buzz wearing his jacket. So, listen, I know a lot of you are wondering, I love bringing you a behind-the-scenes tape of something that happens during the Redskins broadcast.
Oh, good.
And this is My man, Frank Herzog, the Redskins play-by-play announcer.
Our play-by-play guys here in Washington, probably some of the longest-running guys in radio.
Yeah, they're great. If you've never heard Sonny Sam and Frank call a game, you're missing a treat because
right.
They got a unique homespun type of chemistry.
Homespun.
And during a break, Frank was talking to the aforementioned Sam Huff, Hall of Fame linebacker, and here's what Sam heard from Frank during a commercial break yesterday.
I'm just gonna bitch slap you.
Goddamn linebackers. Wow. Some of the behind the scenes homespun chemistry of
that Frank Herzog frustration popping through during the commercial.
Just break. People.
Just people.
That's right.
They're just people.
I'm gonna bitch slap you. Hey, that's pretty brave on Herzog's part. You know, Huff is still the guy that could kick the most ass there.
I'm just gonna bitch slap you.
Goddamn linebackers.
It sounds so funny when a guy like Frank Herzog swears.
Oh, no,
it sounds like it's not supposed to come out of his mouth.
We got a guy here from Stamford, Connecticut, who claims he's Howard Cosell's grandson.
Right. Hmm.
No, it's true, guys.
Just people.
Just people. Just
people. I called because I started listening to your show about 4 months ago. And I found it to be very funny, and then you guys are in a bowling, you guys have a bowling team, and that's great. So I figured I would make the challenge to play against my bowling team for the right to mock my grandfather.
I tell you what, if you got to give us some kind of documented proof that you're Howard
right.
Cosell's grandson.
If you are...
You can ask me anything. You can find my name in his latter two books in the beginning of the book. You can find my name in there after I was born.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
You are
I'm
a
his
Cosell.
Grandson. I believe me, I have better things to do with my time than to call up and claim to be Howard Cosell's
now,
grandson.
Now, see, that sounds
just
like
people.
That sounds like something Howard would say. So that's
I have no need for senseless babble in the morning.
If in fact you are Howard Cosell's grandson, we would be glad to take your bowling team on.
Do you have any resemblance to your grandfather?
I got his ears and his nose. Let me tell you, I'm happy about that.
Wow. Oh, man.
Just people.
Sure. Poor kid. That's
just earlobes.
Just earlobes. Just a snoz.
Ears hanging down to his shoulders and the nose to match. Unbelievable,
but true. I got my grandmother's eyes, and I don't know where the rest of me came from, but yeah, I've got a slight resemblance.
So your name would be Cosell.
My last name is not, it shouldn't be, though, because my mother was married, my parents got divorced, and my last name was Cohane, but when I turned 18, because my grandfather only had two daughters, I said that I would change my name to Cosell to keep the Cosell name going.
Oh, very cool.
And your first name is Colin?
Hell no, it's Colin.
Oh, Colin. Colin.
So, in effect, your name would be Colin Cosell.
Just people.
By any chance, do you have your grandfather's hair, like in a box somewhere?
I do not, but I did used to cut the tape out for his headpiece, his hairpiece.
Hey, Rob, ask this guy. You can come up with a question maybe that would be an inside Cosell.
I was trying to think, what was the first radio station he worked at? Do you remember?
I'm not 100% sure. It was a small radio station, but then he moved straight over to WABC.
Yeah, you know what? That's about as much as I could offer, but that matches up with what I know.
All right. Yeah, listen, Colin, hold on, please, and we'll be glad to schedule a game with you and your team, Bass.
Let's say hi to Colin Cosell.
And keep up the good work, guys. You're great.
Thank you. He's just people.
Just people.
Just people.
Thank you. Hold on, Colin. Yeah, let's book that guy for a bowling game.
I cannot possibly express my pleasure that Colin has adopted the Cosell name.
Hello, Steve in Queens, Don and Mike show. Hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, we're doing great, thanks.
Hey, I don't know if you guys heard, but at the very, very end of the Giant game yesterday, as they were, like, running off the field after the game was over, you could hear Schottenheimer drop the F-bomb, and Fox picked it up.
How did he use it?
He was coming off the field, and he was all psyched that he had won, and it looked like, I don't know, I guess it looked like Arrington. He ran up to one of his players and just, you know, took him by the collar and right into his face just went, "We are on an effing roll." I was like, uh-oh, he's not supposed to say that. You know,
just people.
It was very faint, but you could hear it either over the closing music or Kurt Menefee going, you know, "This has been a production of blah, blah, blah." But you can definitely hear him say
there is
really
no
funny.
Doubt that LeVar Arrington and Marty Schottenheimer have a long-standing effing love affair.
All right, thank you, Steve.
All right, guys.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We are on an effing roll.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, did you guys see the Cheerios commercial using the Frankenstein voices?
The what commercial?
The Cheerios commercial uses Frankenstein.
Yeah. You mean the tapes we have?
Yeah.
Wow. Really? You mean the good, good?
I swear to the bees buzzing around, and gives Frankenstein the Cheerios like, "Good." And they see how great the cereal is, and he goes, "Friend," and shakes his hand.
Oh, really?
Good. Good.
There it is.
Well, yeah, hey, the fact that they're ripping off our bit, that's a...
No good.
There is no doubt that the fact that this show is heard live in New York City is now catching the ear of Madison Avenue.
And I also... Friend. Also, I saw again yesterday Howie Long turning in a lovely performance as Frankenstein. Have you seen that?
Still not seen that commercial.
He doesn't need a lot of makeup.
Good, good.
But you really got. I think it's of course a Radio Shack commercial, but it's funny because it's him on the reclining board as Frankenstein.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, man, you are so freaking funny. I was listening Friday about ran off the road when y'all were interviewing OJ. Thank you for the good work. You guys kill me.
Thank you. Well, we like to consider OJ to be a
friend.
He's always been a close friend of the show.
Yes,
that's a funny call. Been a long time, first time caller.
Thanks. Do
keep
appreciate
up the good
it.
Work, guys. Y'all are hilarious.
Thank you very much. Now, listen, tomorrow we're going to be having the pumpkin pie eat-off.
Oh, it's tomorrow?
It's tomorrow, hey. As we're going to have a two-day spooktacular. Be telling you about that in a second. Give you the chance to call in. Please don't. Don't call yet.
Yes.
But we're going to be giving you the chance to come down and to eat as much pumpkin pie as possible. a word of warning to any criminals in the D.C. metro area. After nearly 3 weeks of somehow managing to get out of jury duty, today, Mike Honey Honey's there.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
Frida's there. And the last, she's got the little pager thing like I have. Mm-hmm. And the last message I received from her said that she's made it through the second round of interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a civil trial.
Is there a part of your wife that wants to sit on a jury? Or
absolutely not.
She wants out.
No, who wants to go to jury duty?
I don't know. I mean, I would think that if you had the time, and I suppose, you know, a lot of people look at it as somebody who's going to take their personal time away.
God knows she's got the time.
But if you did, I would think just for the experience, it would be something that would be interesting.
Nah, she did. It's a pain in the ass. Who wants to sit through someone else's problems? So just be advised. Just be advised, if you're a bad guy, watch out.
Yeah.
Because
she's the hanging juror.
Yeah. Jury of one.
All the evidence points to not guilty.
No. I told her, you want the easiest way to get out of it, just tell him you're married to me.
Right.
Just stand up and say, have you ever heard the Don and Mike show?
No, I think the better way to do it would be tell him that you took Rob Spiewak to France.
Hello. Johnny, Don and Mike.
Dismissed.
Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
What was the deal with Bonnie yesterday talking about you giving her a ride?
Bonnie Bernstein?
The pregame show?
Bonnie Bernstein, yeah. I gave her a ride a couple of nights ago.
Well, she was telling Larry Michaels about it, and she was sort of dissing you.
Was she dissing me or dissing me?
Dissing, D-I-S-S.
Oh, dissing, man.
Just people.
All right, well, what did she say?
She was saying, well, then Don Geronimo offered me a ride, and I wasn't really sure what to say about that, and it made me kind of nervous, but...
Yeah, well, no, that was. I think she described it accurately.
Yeah, that's not dissing.
No, that's
the facts as they stand. I mean, that, she was the woman who greeted us on the train with "Oh no."
Yeah, but you know what? I think this guy deserves some credit for that chilling impression. Can you do some more, sir?
All right, thank you, my friend.
Okay, thanks.
See you later. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Mike.
Yes.
How you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Hey, saw you at Pickle Park, man.
Did you really this weekend? I spent most of the weekend at Pickle Park.
Hey, Haywood told me to say hi to you.
Haywood? Haywood, yeah. You blow me?
Right.
Yeah. All right, get out of here, would you please?
That's a fresh joke. Fresh
yeah,
today's headline.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Happy Monday.
Right.
I got a sure fire way for your wife to get out of jury duty.
Okay.
Say you hate any one of the following ethnic groups, blacks, Jews, white people, anybody.
Yeah, you know, and
I don't like that.
I've told her that, and we mentioned that to Buzz also. Yeah. And the thing is, it's easier said than done. It's not too easy to stand up and go, "Hi, my name is Frieda Source, and I'd like to announce, I hate Jews,
mm-hmm.
I hate blacks, I hate Rob."
It
wouldn't be a problem for you,
in Judge
Rob.
Spiewak's court, you would be moved to the head of the line.
You think it's hard to do on a? You should do it on a radio show every day.
Oh, God.
Let you develop a thick skin.
All right, get out of here. Thank you, my friend. No, she won't do that. Oh, before we get to actually, this will start the weekend stuff. I had the chance yesterday to meet a woman. I know that there's a lot of tragedy right now in the world. All kinds of victims of the World Trade Center and of the Pentagon disaster. But I met a woman yesterday who I really have empathy for. This woman, on a day-to-day basis, puts up with the worst bit of humanity that could ever be offered up. This is a woman who has to go to bed with Larry King every night.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I'm at the stadium, and I'm out on the field, and I get the two-way radio.
Right
here. The frog's wife is 20 yards away from you. And I get on the radio and I go, "Over, I don't get it." And I go, "Larry King's wife is singing the national anthem today. She's on the 30-yard line, 20 yards away from you." So I look up to the booth, and all the guys are pointing. This is like 2 hours before the kickoff of the Redskins Giants game. And indeed, there she is, Sean Southwick King.
How did she look?
Painted like a common streetwalker. I mean, more makeup than Bozo.
Right, right.
Really, but I'll say this. Strong-looking
yeah. One.
Did you notice her very classy, glittering jeans?
Didn't I mention the glitter jeans,
yes,
to Mike?
You know, and the body looking okay?
From what I could see, absolutely.
How about the rack?
Covered up by a jacket.
Okay.
Yeah, very well hidden. Very, very pointy-toed, spike-heeled shoes.
Really?
And... you know, she sang pretty
tough
good.
Tough to walk on a football field with
I'm
those.
Surprised she
heels.
Wasn't sinking in, really.
she got done with the warm up with the practice, and I walked over there. And incidentally, do we got the reverb? Because
yeah.
Here's how she sounded when she was singing. It's very surprising.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light, Daddy Day, Daughter Day, what so proudly we hail? A brief hello to the mother.
Very brief.
And then she gets into my cougar, my brown cougar, with my shiny leather shoes. Thank you. And then it's off singing the national anthem, followed by a hearty.
So she's on the field and she sings this. She does the warm up, and as she's walking off the field, I walk up to her.
I figure, what the hell?
We know Larry King, and we know Larry King hates us.
Mm-hmm.
I've met Larry King's daughter, Kaya, mm-hmm. and I know she hates us.
Yes.
And we've even called Sean King Southwick's parents before. And
I don't think they hate us.
And had them on the show.
They didn't know us at the time.
So I walked up. Oh, yes, and incidentally, if she happens to be listening today, great lip sync yesterday. Fantastic. Best lip sync I've ever seen.
Did she lip sync to Whitney Houston?
So I walk up and I go, hi, Sean. She looks at me. She goes, she got those big Kathy Lee type glasses on.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. She goes, yes. I go, hi, Don Geronimo, Don and Mike show. Big fan. Shake her hand. And it didn't even register.
Let me tell you something. If you sleep with me, you'll get to sing the national anthem in all the stadiums across the country. Please sleep with me.
And you know what I thought was real telling about that? Did you notice how she was introduced at the beginning of the game?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome wife of CNN correspondent Larry King and recording artist Sean Southwick King.
Oh, God, how BS is that?
Wow.
So that is just really...
So I get wow. no reaction from her. I'm like, yeah, she don't know me from Adam. So I'm standing there and I'm debating in my head if I say, hey, man, hold on. We're the guys, your husband really hates us. He's tried to get us fired a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
We have people call the show all the time, but I let it go.
Did you watch her walk away?
I did.
How'd that look?
Nice. Let me just say nice. That was the... listen, here's how the weekend started, though. I think you're going to like this. You know, here on WJFK, Rob A. hosts an infomercial with a couple of sleazy car dealers. On Saturday morning.
Right.
It's like, it's an infomercial that is made to be like a regular radio show.
Right, exactly.
Oh, hold on, we got, who's this? Joe?
What's up with Jewel's stomach during the opening of the World Series?
I thought Jewel's stomach Saturday night looked outstanding. You had a complaint with Jewel's stomach?
Hello?
Yeah, did you have a complaint with Jewel's stomach?
Shoot, I can't hear you.
I don't know what this guy's talking about. Jewel,
she had a belly shirt on?
Yeah, a red
one. Yeah, she did, and it was sick. It was inappropriate.
It was not inappropriate at all.
Did she have a navel piercing?
It was sticking out there. It was sticking out. Oh, yeah.
No, she was hot. I mean, except for that,
for
that bad tooth that she's got.
Yeah, but that adds character. I like that. That snaggle tooth, I think, is sexy.
She came out in tight jeans. She had on
red, white, and blue top.
Yeah,
and I had to stand there and look at her stomach sticking out.
Well, wait a minute. It's sticking out like she had a pot belly?
No, she had.
It was. It was fleshy. Come on.
No, she got buns.
It was not tight.
Abs of steel, buns of steel. I mean, listen, it's not very often that I can get aroused during the national anthem,
mm-hmm.
but I did.
Replay the video.
I mean, I almost had bombs bursting in air.
So, I mean, I might have believed this guy that she looked like Don Zimmer in a belly shirt or what?
Jewel never looked hotter than she did when she sang Saturday night in Phoenix.
That's demented. Not right.
No, see,
you're wrong.
Well, I mean, are you not a fan of Jewel to start with?
I think she's attractive, but come on, that's fleshy there. There was some flesh hanging over that
so it was hanging.
Top of her pants. Well,
Mike, listen, I know someone will email us a picture of Jewel. I'm telling you.
I tell you, the abs of abs are Janet Jackson's. I mean, there is nobody that has a better stomach, a sexier stomach than Janet Jackson.
You could eat off Jewel's abs, and I'd love to eat off Jewel's abs.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't wash your clothes on her
Now, Cheryl
stomach.
Crow, there's somebody that goes, you know, varies a little bit.
I want to tell you something about hear that? That's my reaction to Jewel singing the national anthem. She's a POA.
All right. Well, that's your assessment, but I disagree with you. You guys.
No, that's about
best.
You know women. You know, as far as guys and women, I mean, everybody's got their opinion.
Here's my assessment of you.
No, I knew her.
Oh, wait.
But I don't need to see that.
So you were really bothered by her stomach.
That's weird.
I didn't need to see that. No,
God, I wish I'd seen it. Damn, I wish I'd seen
that.
It.
God, you're so gay. I'm telling you, Jewel didn't have, like, a roll of fat around her belly. No, she didn't. No, she's hot.
I know she's hot, but I didn't need to see that.
Oh, get out of here, please. Christ.
Who will save yourself?
Hello, Carl.
Carol.
Hello, Carol.
Carol.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Carol.
I just want to agree with the caller. I thought her stomach looked, I don't know, kind of pudgy.
Well, see, now you're a girl, so your opinion is immediately discounted because there's
the meow factor.
Really? Yeah. You think that I would be more, forgiving than men?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, quite the opposite.
I don't think so. I mean, we can't take a woman's opinion on this.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you, though, honey.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The seat of political correctness in America. You are listening to it, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I'm serious about that. You can't believe what a woman's going to say about that.
Yeah, you next thing you know, what do you want to do, put her in a burqa?
Hello, Lee.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
What do you think Jewel's tooth will do to you during oil?
Now, that could be a problem. That could be a major problem, but you know why?
What?
You know what you do? That's why God gave her those things that are hanging at the end of her arms.
Right.
Jewel would just have to...
I bet Jewel would probably be very skilled with that snaggletooth, avoiding contact.
I'd be afraid about that.
No, I wouldn't.
I'd be very afraid.
Not afraid. Very afraid.
Ouch!
Yeah.
Ouch! Jewel, ouch!
Yeah, if she does that, you have to put her in a burqa.
God damn it. What is a burqa?
Yeah, what is a burqa? This is a bunch of guys I'm playing golf with. I'm going to get in trouble with this by talking about this. My wife's going to get mad at me. We were just somehow the subject of wives and things came up. And burqas are what the women wear over in Afghanistan, covering their faces. And it was just much hilarity abounded when we were just talking about, you know, going out to dinner, going out to the shopping mall with our wives in burqas.
Wearing burqas.
It was funny. It was just very funny. And I know if my wife heard that, she'd probably be very upset.
You
know?
Hello.
I would never put her in a burqa.
Of course not.
But it was just kind of like, you know, the thing, a burqa would always be, you know, yeah, your wife gives you a hard time, you put her in a burqa. Yeah.
For a Jewish gal, you put her in a burqa-wiss. Hello?
Oops, what am I doing here? They'd be nice burqas, too.
Hello, Mike. Hello? Hey, Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, what's happening? Hi. I got to kind of agree with that guy a little bit. I mean, she wasn't that bad, but she doesn't look like Janet Jackson, you're right. But Janet Jackson got liposuction. That's why her stomach is so flat.
Yeah, but Jewel didn't look fat on Saturday night.
I don't think she looked fat, but you know what? She looked more, her stomach looked more real than the stomach Janet Jackson has. You're not going to get. A regular person's not going to get that. You see her stomach in those videos?
No, I agree. I'm telling you, Jewel's stomach was nice, man. You could have sex with her stomach.
There wasn't any hangage?
No, there was none. Hello, Anthony.
Yes, sir.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to call and tell you your show's outstanding, and a guy who calls in and says, Jewel's stomach is not good-looking, must be kind of gay.
Right, that's what I thought, big homo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess you had to see her on Saturday night.
I bet in her day, I bet there, you know, I have seen Jewel when she hasn't been all that prime, and I would venture to say there might be a little lint in that navel.
She looked as close to Britney or Christina as she could possibly look on Saturday night during the World Series.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Can't show it to you.
God, I wish I could see it. Can't somebody give me a picture?
Someone will.
Now, what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week?
Two?
Two.
Join me for American's Top 40. This is every Saturday morning at 2.
Two?
Okay, so, I know we got to do a break, but let me just play you this tape. Rabe does this show on the weekend, on Saturday morning, and it's a car show.
Right.
It's these guys who own a dealership, and Rob's the host, and they try to make it like it's a regular radio show, but it's really an infomercial.
Mm-hmm.
So I called about a month ago, and then Mike called a couple of weeks ago, and as it turns out, Saturday morning, I'll tell you why in a minute, but my son and I were out running some errands. So I said to Bart, hey, you know it'd be a good goof? Why don't you call Rob show up? So here now from Saturday morning, this is Bart calling the Rob Spiewak infomercial.
Can't wait to hear the personality that he adopts.
Well, see if you can guess.
Very good.
Here we go.
So let's see, shall we? Good morning. Hello.
Hi. This is Hans.
Hello, Hans.
I'm 17. I'm wondering what kind of good German car I could buy. I was thinking about a Volkswagen, maybe a Passat.
Is it a Volkswagen?
Yes, my dad likes it. His name is Dieter.
We spoke to him.
Yes, we have spoken. This must be Dieter's son. He's the Unterdieter, actually.
Unterdieter, yeah. Unfortunately, Hans couldn't buy on his own. He's still going to need Dieter.
He's going to need Dieter to co-sign that loan?
It's a Volkswagen.
It's a, no, Volkswagen, I thought.
A Volkswagen?
Volkswagen.
Volkswagen.
German engineering is quite excellent.
Excuse me?
We're still here.
Is that
Daddy in the background doing a little coaching?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Did he say, can I hang up now?
Yeah, no, because I wanted him to say good day to you, sir.
You should have bought German.
Excuse me?
You should have bought a German cell phone.
I should have. In retrospect, that would have been a good idea.
Now, would you be interested if we could get you a Volkswagen painted with the German flag?
How could you not?
Well, then we'll look into that for you, I promise.
Thank you.
Die Gates, auf Wiedersehen.
Good day to you, sir.
I said good day. Goodbye. All right. I don't know what's happening here.
Poor Rob. Well, everybody crank calls Rob's infomercial.
But it livens it up, doesn't it, Rob? It livens the day up.
Absolutely.
And we were driving to, Bart had a homecoming to go to this weekend, and we were on our way to the store to get him some stuff, and we heard Rob on, and I said, hey, you want some fun?
Just people. Call up and say your name. First, I wanted him to be Hansel. As in Hansel and Gretel. Right. But I figured that would never make it through the screener.
I think it'd be a real good idea for all people to call Rob's show with German accents.
It'd be a great idea.
Like all day, you know, hey, how are you?
Hi, this is Hans.
Hello there. I would like to answer a question. Yeah, that's easier. Can you have beer holders in the car?
Hi, this is Hans.
Hello, I'm Klaus. Is this Rob?
Yeah, Vern. Ooh, Rob.
And hold show now on Saturday morning, it's like half people calling with serious questions about cars, and it's the other half is everybody just like goofing and making crank calls to Rob. Oh, here's someone who tried to crank call you, I think. Kirby?
Hey, what's up, guys?
You tried to crank call Rob's infomercial?
I called him last week, actually, and I told him I was shopping for a car, and I asked him how important color would factor in, and I figured they'd say, well, you know, it's your personal preference. And they started going into this huge thing about how better colors, you know, they last longer and resale value and all that.
Yeah.
And it got really boring, so I had to fake a coffee spill in my lap to hang up.
Very clever.
But I bet you were doing the color thing for Rob's benefit, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Right, what color?
Rob, actually, right, first thing he said was that the new Jetta comes with a towel dispenser for spilling coffee, so he was pretty quick on it.
Ah, I see. Well, thank you, Kirby.
You've got to hear the magic that is Rob doing an infomercial show.
Tune in and hear me pick up my check. That's the best part at the end of it every week.
He goes into it with a 100% solid attitude.
Can-do attitude.
Right? Can-do attitude with that show.
Listen to the gain Amy gave it. It's called
The Farish of Manassas Automotive
Good Time Hour.
You might as well try. We try to have fun going in. We did have one guy called this week, and he said, you know what? After listening, I found that, you know, there's nothing to be scared of salesmen. They're just people.
It is just people.
A solid hour of mildly interesting radio. You know what?
It's good filler.
Filler, right.
So there you have it.
Hello, Stefan.
Guten Morgen.
Hi, Guten Morgen.
Hey, did you ever hear that Jewel had breast reduction surgery?
I think we may have heard that a while ago.
Sounds right. Yeah.
I agree. She wasn't toned, but she wasn't fat.
All right, no, she's... Sounds like that could be a start of a joke. You know, they would need a punchline. Did you hear about Jewel's breast reduction surgery?
She's a good-looking girl.
Yeah.
Nice looking girl. Very
good
cute.
Good pipes, too.
Cute girl, what?
Good pipes.
Yeah, well, who cares about that? About her goddamn singing?
Well, you can film or something.
You can film you can something.
You can fill her pipes with something.
Now he's made you happy.
Take care.
Yeah, you're right. He has. Oh, I don't think he deserves the dumbass sound. That last part was good. You can fill him with something.
Fill him with something.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Hey, I'm trying to go back a sec when Mike was talking about the burqa thing with the Afghani women.
Yeah.
I was watching Fox News last week. I believe you guys were in New York. And they had the segment where Holly, when she goes over to this Muslim mosque in Chantilly, and if I'm pronouncing it correctly, maybe some Middle Eastern can help us out with this, it's called hijab. But the women were saying that it's not, you know, we don't have to do hijab. And you had to see the segment.
Hijab?
That's what it sounds like, Don.
Wait. Is it a burqa or is it a hijab?
Well, the whole outfit, I believe, is called the hijab. It's some kind of Muslim belief where the women cover themselves from head to toe.
Right.
And American women would say, well, we think that's degrading. But they had some American Muslim women and some women who actually were from Afghanistan, and they were stating that it's not degrading to us. We don't have to do hijab. The way it was sounding, you had to hear it. And I swear to God, if you get somebody, get you that segment from Fox, I looked at my wife, and we were late from work. We sat down, and we looked at it, because I'm like, I know they're not saying what I think they're saying. And I'm like, is it okay, the Middle East enough women are being forced to do whatever she's saying they're doing?
Yeah.
They have to be there, man. It's my boss is from Iran, and he said he realized it, but the way he said it still sounded like hijab. But it's so funny, man. I hope you guys get up. I'll call Fox personally and try to get that segment.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right. You guys take it easy.
Bye-bye. Excellent.
Hijab.
You should have gotten with Hesh Bivak.
Is this guy really speaking
Rob
German?
Rob called for you.
I got some guy who's really talking German now.
Hi.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Yeah, you talk, Rob.
Yeah, Hans Peter. Yeah. I heard your commercial. Your infomercial.
Yeah?
Yeah, Hans Peter. Yeah.
Hans Peter. Back.
And that was good, but the Volkswagen, that's a scheiß auto.
Listen, you can't cuss another language.
That's right. They know that,
you can't cuss.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, this show is piped into the UN, sir, so you got to be careful with that.
I did not.
That's the DA sound effect.
Right.
And we found that out the hard way, because one time we actually had some guy from Germany on, and we were cussing at him and calling him an S-head.
Wasn't the real way we found out about it? I mean, one of the times where somebody was using a foreign language, weren't we broadcasting to the Soviet Union?
Yeah.
And we had some guy on that was telling us he was saying something that it wasn't. He was like the foulest Russian language.
We were doing what at the time was, this was back like in 1987, the first American radio show ever to broadcast to Russia.
Yeah, top 40 type radio show.
They put it on like the national radio. So No matter, of the two channels you could choose from in Russia at the time, this was before Glasnost and all that, we were it.
Right.
And we were dumb enough to be taking live calls. And we took this one call, and the guy says, yeah, hey, Don and Mike, I got a message for all the Russian people in their native tongue.
Here's what you can say, and he goes into this whole spiel.
And I swear to God, these KGB dudes. Now, they weren't KGB, but they were.
No, but they were part of the Ministry of Information. They were the radio people. They were the people that were monitoring our broadcast. They literally ran into the studio.
Come around, the guy was saying, they're saying that Russian women love to F goats.
Right, yeah, it was just horrible stuff. And we're sitting there going, hey, that's really terrific, so we just want to say hi to everybody. It's nice. To get it out in their native tongue.
As I recall, we were even repeating some of them.
He was teaching us.
Great.
And we didn't know.
No.
Because we thought he was telling us what it was, and it was totally different.
Right, because we are dumbasses. All right, let's clear these lines out. 877-365-3636, 202 or 321067. Prize pack right now. Be the 100th caller. Good luck.
Don and Mike Show.
Hi, thanks, Larry. This is for Senator Bob Dole.
Go.
Yes. Don and Mike, order, you're coming out on the erectile.
Okay, I think that was a gay call. So I cut it because they mentioned two local disc jockeys.
What?
Oh, I see.
God damn it.
Right, right.
The Don and Mike Show.
I'm always proud of that guy because he gets erectile in there.
He sure does. Time for a call 100. Here we go. Oops. Again, I pressed the wrong line. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Caller 100?
Yeah, who's this?
Holy mackerel, I can't believe it. After 7 years. What?
You made it to the big dance. I'm sorry, who's this?
Jeff Townsend from Severna Park, Maryland.
All right, my friend, you won the Shrek prize pack.
Okay.
Now, that's a good prize because you get a 52-week rental card from Blockbuster.
That is fantastic. Thank you very much.
Every week for the next year, go to Blockbuster, rent yourself whatever you want. Shrek is coming to Vimeo at Blockbuster. Buy a rental card, get a free DVD or VHS copy of Shrek when it's released on November 2nd. Enjoy, my friend, and thank you for listening to the show.
Fantastic. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Hold on just a second. And this song here, this is what I was playing, Love Grows from My Rosemary Goes.
Who did it?
This is Edison Lighthouse.
All right.
It's featured prominently in the
the new movie that I want to see. I forget the name of it. It's, yeah, what is it?
Shallow Hal.
It's the one with...
Yeah, Shallow Hal with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Jack Black.
And Jack Black. The one where... Looks funny as hell where...
It does look
this
funny.
This guy gets a spell put on him, Jack Black, and he sees the inner beauty of people, and this Gwyneth Paltrow, in real life, weighs like 400 pounds.
Aren't they getting, like, lots of flack from fat groups and
yeah.
stuff like that?
Yeah,
it's hysterical.
It's got a scene where she's on the diving board, she's jumping up and down, and she says, do you want me to make a splash? And he goes, yeah. And this guy, you know, Jack Black, he sees... Gwyneth Paltrow,
right.
And then they show just this big, gigantic, flabby ass of the real woman jumping in the pool.
Puts the kid up in the tree.
Yeah. It's great. My kid made me go into the, I don't know what it was, Sam Goody, whatever, this weekend to buy Tenacious D, which is the CD by Jack Black.
Right. You know, I'm trying to figure that out. I saw them on one of the late night shows where he came out in his superhero costume.
I got news for you. Tenacious D, it's not a bad band.
No, I mean, they were competent. I just, you know, when I saw them, I was trying to... get my head around it and try to figure out where, you know, when you see guys dressed like that, you immediately think, and you know, the guy that's his lead guitar player is just a big, fat, slumpy guy, too, and you think that they're somehow just doing a goof.
In the liner notes, when you open up the liner notes for the Tenacious DCD, it's Jack Black and the other guy running around in their underpants with one of them grabbing onto the other guy's underpants and trying to give him a wedgie.
Is it the bald guy?
I think so. So Bart buys the CD and says, Dad, you know, let's listen to it. And so, okay, all right, we put it in the thing in the car, and I'm amazed. It's not bad.
Right.
The music ain't bad.
Excellent.
We saw that ad. Oh, well, let me just start with The Weeknd. I can do this very quickly. My wife, I love her more than anything, but she picks the worst times to leave me as a single parent.
Right.
This was the weekend. My kid, I can't help it that he's inherited my personality and my good looks.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to 3 different homecomings this year.
Oh, my God.
He's going to the homecoming at his school, a homecoming at another girl's school, and a homecoming at another girl's school.
All tuxedo stuff?
No, this is just suit and tie
just
stuff.
Just suit and tie, all right.
Suit and tie stuff. So the first one is Saturday night, and, of course, this is the weekend that my wife secured tickets for the producers.
Yep, very excited about that.
Up in New York, so she and... the Princess Senior, my mother-in-law...
Going up to support the economy of New York City.
Yes, they went up to drain my bank account a little more. And I guess it was sometime on Thursday night, my mother-in-law, when she was walking up my driveway at my house, she tripped on an acorn.
Oh, no.
And this was the reason that I had to rent my mother-in-law and my wife a limousine while they were in New York.
Those acorns will be big.
He can do stuff.
And turn your ankle on.
Because Big Frida fell on an acorn.
Yeah.
Tripped on an acorn.
Did she go down?
I guess so, yeah. Well, she went down when I got home from work on Thursday. When we got back from the train station, she showed me her arm where she had like a Band-Aid on her arm.
She'd hit the ground.
From the fall.
Based on the acorn.
Based on the acorn.
I would imagine anyone could go down with an acorn, you know, if you hit it the wrong way.
The acorn, which led to the, you know, it was, I just think it was a roundabout way of getting, you know, the limousine for the weekend in New York. But it's
I think you ought to make the squirrels pay for it.
I don't mind. So anyway, they got the tickets for the producers, and they went up to see that, and it was just Bart and I this weekend, which is cool. Except that this was the weekend that, you know, everything has to be done.
Did they ride in the limo from producers to their dinner at Sardi's? Did they take the limo?
I believe they actually hoofed it, because that's like what, right across the street.
Yeah.
Okay, so. She's gone, and Saturday morning, Bart gets up, and I say to him, now he's got this homecoming on Saturday night, I say, let's check out what you're going to wear. And he's got a suit. He's got a nice, like, a pinstripe suit that we got him.
Right.
And I say, what shirt are you going to wear? And he brings out just the most retarded-looking shirt I've ever seen in my life.
A print?
No, just a bad shirt, like an old raggy shirt that he's had for a long time. And I said, you know, do you have hard shoes? He says,
hard shoes with big shiny buckles.
He says, no, I got
pilgrim shoes.
He wants to wear like his work boots that he wears to school every day. So I said, no, listen, here's what we're going to do. You and I, we're going to go out. I'm going to take you to the place. I'm going to get you hooked up mobster style.
With the whole schmear.
So we go to this place, and I get him, I mean, he gets the neck measured, he gets the sleeves measured. I get him the nice, shiny, metallic black shirt.
Uh-huh.
To go with the black shirt, I get the metallic maroon tie.
Ah, the John Gotti look.
And then I spring for the matching shiny maroon handkerchief.
Ah, very nice.
To go in the pocket, you know, get him the nice belt, the dress belt that of course he doesn't have.
Right.
Get him the nice pair of shoes, get him all hooked up. Then we say, we got to go buy the Tenacious D CD, and then he wants to go to the movies. We went to see the movie 13 Ghosts.
Well, I wanted to see that, too.
I don't remember how many dolls Charlie Stossel gave.
I don't either. I don't remember. I don't think he was really enthusiastic about that.
I thought it was pretty good.
He gave it two?
I think two or
he gave it two. I thought it was pretty good, and I figured out about 5 minutes into the movie that if you're going to a horror movie, all bets are off as far as people talking in the theater. That people do not even try to mask the fact in a horror movie that they're talking.
Well, they're dealing with their anxiety.
People speak absolutely out loud, which is like, oh, my God, don't go in that room, girl. Don't go in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was at first it drove me crazy until I realized the environment that I'm in. I'm in a horror movie, and I guess you're allowed to talk back to the screen in the horror movie. And then that's where we saw the ad for the Jack Black movie again, with the fat chick, which just looks great.
That does look fantastic. I want to see K-Pax, too. I really do.
So we go through all this crap. We you know, as always, doing everything for my kid, because our world revolves around him. Take him out, get him the proper clothes, get him the dumb CD that he wants, go to the movie that he wants to go to. We get back home. He's getting ready to get cleaned up. Had to stop and get some kind of goo for his hair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he goes down, he takes a shower, he comes upstairs, and this is the stuff, I don't know exactly what it is, but comes in a little can, and apparently what you're supposed to do is just take, like, just maybe a fingerful and just massage it into your palm, and then barely put it in your hair.
Is it like waxy?
Yes.
It's pomade.
That's it, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
So
to make you put that on your flat top.
Variation of, but it's much cheaper that I use for my flat top because I use a lot of it. I use a crew comb.
Now my kid has semi long hair. Okay, he puts half of this container in his hair. He comes upstairs. His hair looks like Edward Scissorhands. I mean, where it's like going out like crazy. And he says, Dad, feel my hair. I feel his hair. It's like straw. And he says, you got to help me. So I said, all right.
So he blew it. Is that what it is?
Yeah, he blew it. He put all this crap in his hair.
Right.
He couldn't get it out. So four times he goes back down, takes four more showers.
Right.
Finally washed all the crap out. And then, you know, he didn't want me. I said, hey, listen, here's what you do. Let me put a little dab of it in my hand. Let me rub it on your head. And then let me comb your hair.
Mm-hmm.
And this lasted for about 5 seconds.
Right.
But he said, Dad, this is so queer. You're combing my hair
for
me.
You're his dad.
I'm almost 70. So finally I said, you know what? Hey, okay, fine. You know, you're on your own.
What was the look he was shooting for? Was he looking for the slicked back look?
No, because he's got... And
was he looking for the spiked look?
No, I still don't know what look he was looking for. Because the kid's got long hair. So for my money, what you do is you put that stuff on and you slick it back. And he's already got the mob...
Like we did when we had our pictures taken in the 80s.
He's got the mob...
You blow dry it, hairspray it,
yeah,
and poof it up.
Well, yeah, it would end up looking like Conway Twitty's hair. So he ended up with a look that he liked. That was, you know, it was not exactly what I would go for, but he was happy with it. So now it's time to go. The way that this works is that all the kids meet at one parent's house, and you take pictures and stuff, and you meet the other parents. Well, he is 100% opposed to this. He said, Dad, you can't come to this house. It will embarrass me if you come to this house. You know, he said, I'm not a little kid anymore. I'm almost 17. And I said, well, you know what? Tough ass. You're not going unless I'm going to the house to meet the parents, mm-hmm, and to see the girl. And
yeah, see if it's like the Addams Family.
Yeah, and I'm sorry if it's queer, but I'm going to take some pictures. And
if, like, Gomez comes to the door, you want to know about it.
So he says to me, but, Dad, no other parents will be there.
Of course.
I said, Bart, I don't care what other parents think. He said, Dad, this isn't like when you had to drive me or something. I can drive myself. I said, you know what? That's what that, I said, then here's the deal. That if I'm not going to the house to meet the parents, what you do is you go there and you bring them here. You bring the parents of the girl that you're going with here. You bring the girl here. You let me meet them here. He said, but Dad, we can't do that. We're under, you know, we got to go to dinner and all this. So finally, he gives in. He caves. And it's like the whole day, all I've done is everything that the kid wants to do. And it's like now he's pissed off at me because I want to go and I want to meet the parents and I want to take pictures. Mm-hmm. We pull up to the house to where they're all meeting. And, I mean, it is a goddamn parade of SUVs because, of course, every parent in the world is there.
Every parent's showing up.
Of course, every parent shows up.
Right.
So, you know, we pull up and I go, wow, sure does look like a lot of non-kid cars here. He says, oh, no, no, these are, Dad, and I'm always getting this, too. Dad, all my friends drive nice cars.
Uh-huh.
Right? All my friends drive, you know, the answer to that is F you. You know, the answer is, listen, I love you, son. You keep your grades up and you get to drive the pickup truck to school.
There you go.
And the only reason you get to drive the pickup truck is because that's the only car that I'm sure I can put you in that only has two, that you can only get two people in.
There you go.
Okay? We pull up to the place. We go to the front door, we open, you know, ding dong, and I mean, it's nuts. There's like 12 kids, there's 1,000 parents, and this is where I really need Frida to be there, because immediately, as soon as we get in there, Bart is, I mean, it's like I've got the anthrax, he's so far away from me.
He's gone, he splits, he leaves you to deal with the parents.
Yeah, so we're standing there, and it's, of course, it's mainly moms, you know.
Right.
It's like me and one other dad and like eight moms.
I hate that environment.
And not too many MILFs, incidentally.
Oh, sorry.
And they're all wearing, all the moms are wearing their queer Halloween sweaters.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like the ones that look crocheted that have like pumpkins.
There ought to be a law.
Pumpkins and
call me Scrooge, but there ought to be a law against those Christmas and Halloween sweaters.
Witches on brooms and stuff
and hey, look what I did with my bedazzler.
And I'm having to do the hi, I'm Mike. I'm Bart's dad. And eventually, I don't know, I'm there for 10 minutes and it's someone finally comes and goes, you're Mike, but you're really Don, right? And I said, yes. Yes, that's right. And it's at that point, again, now maybe it's just perception on my part, but it's at that point I feel everyone else in the room, already my kid, has already moved away from me just because I'm a parent. At that point, all of the parents kind of move away, and I see them all talking, and I know what it is like. That's the disc jockey. Pumpkin sex. Pumpkin sex. It was the pumpkin. That's the disc. His son looks nice, but and he appears to be nice, but pumpkin sex. Pumpkin
sex. What do you think there's
girls taking their clothes off. Fart sound effects. That's him. He's a monster. He's a monster.
This is what I'm hearing. He's an evil being.
No, I'm very, very
he's a monster.
Very uptight. Because no one's talking to me now. And it's mainly because they're moms.
And that's when it spins out of control. And you think that they want you out of their home or something like that.
I know I'm paranoid, and that's probably not the case. They're very nice people, but I can't help it. This is what I'm thinking.
Right.
And to make matters worse, there are six couples that are going together. One kid, one lunkhead, hasn't shown up.
Right.
So you can't take the group picture until the one lunkhead shows up.
Mm-hmm.
The kid shows up 20 minutes late, so I'm in this house for 35 minutes. Just standing, and every once in a while, I would make conversation, like I'd walk over to someone, and I would say something scintillating like, wow, getting cold out, huh? And they'd go, sure is. And then they turn around and walk away.
Oh.
Because I know the word got out that I'm the evil disc jockey.
It's the monster.
So it's time.
Stay away from the monster.
So it's time for the pictures. And you know, I figure I waited longer than any of the other parents.
Right.
So what I got Bart and his date, very nice girl, and I said, okay, you kids, you stand right here, and then I want you to go over by the fireplace. People have a fireplace in their house, and I'm going to take your picture. Well, they turn around, some other parent put their kids up there first, right? So now I'm thinking, okay, don't make a scene.
Right.
Don't embarrass my son. I just go up to the mother and go, hi, I didn't know if there was any type of protocol here or anything, but I had these two lined up to get their picture taken. And, you know, she turns around their Halloween sweater and says, well, I didn't know there was such a thing as a line. I mean, they can get their pictures taken next. I mean, she was very nice, but she made me feel like a jag-off. But then she said to me, if you'd like, I can have my son and his date step aside so that you can take the picture of your son and his date. And I'm like, no.
I'm going, duh. Oh, my God.
Go ahead. So, again, you know, I'm picturing behind me, you know.
Oh, look at the monster. Oh, he has to be first. Oh, look at the monster. Look at the monster. Look at the monster. So
it's time to take the picture.
And you wanted to get that done in your zeal to vacate the premises.
So they're standing up in front of the fireplace. And I say, okay, now, come on, Bart, smile. Smile, and right as I'm about to take the picture, I say, don't touch her, because he's got his hand around her waist.
He's handling her?
Yeah, well, now, all the kids are, but for whatever reason, at that moment, I thought to say, don't touch her.
Keep your paws off her.
Don't touch her. And I get the look from him. I get the look like, you are killing me. Why are you doing this to me?
Oh, my God.
So
what motivated? What, he wasn't touching inappropriately, was he?
Not at all.
Rob, no.
Wasn't that like that?
You somehow have felt the need
the other
to
kids,
share with him that you didn't want him touching her.
The other kids that stood up there first, they held hands.
Well, what, did he have his hand around her waist?
Yeah.
Look, when I had my prom picture taken, I put my hand right here at, you know, Foxtrot waist.
And that's all he was doing. And right. I, you know, give myself the dumbass.
He wasn't draping his arm, like, over her shoulder with his hand hanging dangerously.
No, he wasn't feeling her up or anything. I mean, he had the hand around. I said, okay, now, give me a smile. One, two. I put the camera down and go, take your hand off her. You know, and right away I get the look like, you are the dumbest dad in the world.
Boy, that was probably tough. Did he give you a little crap on that one?
Well, it was the nonverbal crap that I got. Just to look like, you know, and I see him looking at his friends and rolling his eyes as if to say, you know, ouch. Hey, my dad is a dumbass. So then I'm standing there for a second. I say, oh, you know, what the hell? Don't, you know. Just go at it if you like to. And that's the wrong thing to say, because the kids all laugh, but the parents, again, it's, you know.
Oh, my God.
Always the monster. You just told them to go at it. So, finally, I get.
You didn't say go at it, did
I
you?
I said go for it.
Go for it.
I said, oh, listen, you're right. I'm overreacting. You kids. Go for it.
That's funny.
And all the kids laugh.
I know, as a father. I know. Were there any fathers of the daughter there?
You know? Father, no. Thank God. Just the mother of the daughter.
Yeah. We, you know, as the father of daughters, you know, someday we'll be doing that. I'd love to hear the dad say, go for it.
So, I thought it was a nice icebreaker, and all the kids laughed. Even my own kids, kid laughed.
Go for it.
And I turn around.
I bet the boys laughed more than the girls did.
Yeah, they did. And I turn around, and I'm just getting daggers, you know, from the other parents.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. The monster said, go for it.
Go for it. So we get the picture taken. Then it's we got to wait for the last kid to show up, the DA, who's 20 minutes late, forcing me to spend more awkward time with these parents.
He must have made a slight impression, too, when he finally arrived, right?
With
the kind of kid that's always late.
Hey! How are you? So they do the picture with all of the girls standing on the stairs together, and I'm taking those pictures, and then all the boys standing on the stairs, then a group shot of all of them again.
Right.
And, you know, one of the moms says to me, now, you don't mind if the boys put their arms around the girls, do you? You know, and I go, duh, no. Yeah. You know, again, stopping myself from saying, how about they engage in coitus in front of us?
I think it's a good thing that you said that in a way, I suppose. I mean, you said, you know, don't handle the merchandise.
No, it was the worst thing to say. So they get done with the pictures, and...
And then when they were leaving, did you say, go for it?
No. And again, you know, I'm overprotective. I don't know. I've given Bart the lecture like 1,000 times about call me when you get to the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Call me when you get to the high school. Call me when you leave the high school. Call me when you get to the parents' house where you're going for the after party. I mean, all day long I've said this to him 1,000,000 times.
That he's got to check in on a regular basis.
And again, you know, it's my fault that all the pictures are done, and the kids are getting ready to go, and I give them the old, come here for a minute, I give them the finger,
come here, just a second. He's like, what? I go, come here. I go, when are you going to call me? And he says, Dad, knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
I will call you.
Right.
I will call you. So I go, okay, all right. I'm backing off. Have a great time. Go home. And now I'm keeping this kid on a schedule to the freaking minute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he's good. He calls when he leaves the restaurant. Dance is supposed to be over at midnight. I'm sitting at the clock. I'm looking. 12:01.
Just looking at your watch.
12:02. Call him up on his cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
I hear the loud, you know, the loud music. But he picks up the phone and he goes, hello? And I say, hey, it's 2 minutes after midnight. The dance is still going. Dance is still going. Like, okay, all right, that's fine. Call me when you get out of the dance. You know, and again, this is where I'm awful by myself. Normally, right. Frida's there to help me.
But you're just pacing back and forth.
Yeah, and because I know the responsibility's on me, that if, God forbid, anything happens, it's going to be my fault.
Yeah, and it's good to check on him, I suppose.
Because it's on my watch. So then he gets out of the thing like 5 minutes later, and he calls me up, and he says, Dad, you know, the dance didn't end exactly at midnight.
Right.
We're going to the house now where we're going to have the party. Here's the address. Here's the vice. I said, great. Don't forget our deal. You be home by 2 o'clock.
Great.
Be home by 2 o'clock. So, I'm thinking, I can go to sleep now.
Yeah.
I got a good kid. I really have a good kid. God damn it. He's the best kid in the world. I love him, and I trust him beyond trust. But I can't go to sleep.
That's normal.
I can't go to sleep. So now it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm purposely looking at the watch and going, 2... Okay, it's 2:05. Okay, it's 2:10. Okay, it's 2:30.
Mm.
And I say to myself, if I don't hear from him by 3 o'clock, I'm going to really embarrass the kid, and I'm going to call the house where he's at, mm-hmm. and I'm going to ask him to come home. But I'm going to give him some slack, right? Because what the hell, he's a good kid. So I'm just sitting upstairs watching some dumb Saturday Night Live rerun. 2:50, he comes in, and I hear, hey, Dad, I'm home. I fly downstairs. I go, hey, listen, Buster, okay? I said, do you see my watch? 2:50. I've been out of my mind. Oh, and he says, hey, Dad, have you ever heard of spring forward and fall back? And I said, no. When I said 2 a.m., I meant 2 a.m. He said, no, but Dad, at 2 a.m., you set the clocks back an hour.
He said, technically, he's right.
Technically, I'm home
10 minutes early.
He's right. I know he's right, and that's a pisser. Right? And I said, but you never said anything. And he said, but you never said anything.
And he's got you there.
I know. He got me.
He ought to pursue. I know he wants to go into veterinary medicine.
He should be a lawyer.
I think a career in law would be a real good idea.
It should be a lawyer. So we went back and forth with this for a moment until I realized, I'm a loser. I've lost this battle with him that he stayed out till 3 o'clock in the morning, but technically he was home before 2 o'clock. So he goes down, he goes to bed, things are fine. The next morning, Frida calls me, and she says, how did it go? And I said, oh, you know, when I told the whole thing with the parents.
I've gotten 3 hours of sleep, and it went fine.
Yeah, you know, the thing with the parents, and she's like, oh, that, you know, you're a good dad for going and meeting them and taking the pictures. And I tell her the thing. I said, the only thing is he came home at 2:50. And right away, Frida, she knew already. She said, oh, didn't you tell him to be home by 2 o'clock real time since you set the clocks back? And I said, no. And my wife called me a dumbass. And she said, you got to know with him. He thinks of every possible loophole.
An angle. Well, yeah, that's good. He's thinking.
She said, if you didn't say to him, be home at 2 o'clock before you turn the clock back an hour.
Really well thought out with the 2:50.
Yeah.
You know, we're 50 minutes. We're
right.
Even, you know, really,
yeah.
You know, once you hit the hour mark, you know, then you're really pushing it. And then to do it, I mean, he had it really noodled through probably long before you even went to the movies.
Absolutely. You know, and they have those dumb announcements on TV and the newspaper.
Right.
It had not entered my mind one time. I sat there and watched the 11 o'clock news on Saturday night after the Yankee game.
Right.
And every 10 minutes, minutes. They're coming on with, don't forget tonight before you go to bed. Set your clock back. Fall back. Spring forward.
We were outside the Old Navy store, and I got to lay that on a lady that had completely forgotten. I felt so superior.
Wow.
She said, why aren't they opening? I said, well, because it's not the correct time. She said, well, it is. It is. She said, it's well after 11 o'clock. It's almost noon. I said, no. No, it's 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, you know, it's one of those deals where I just felt so totally superior.
So he caught me. And that was the weekend.
Wow.
And, you know, tired as ass, but, that's what I'll do for that boy. I love the lad.
There you go. Sure.
I love the lad. And he got me. God damn it, he got me good.
Mm-hmm.
Really. But, Dad, I'm 10 minutes early. What can I say?
Funny.
What can I say?
Okay. That is very funny.
All right. Go to your room. You go to bed right now, young man.
That's still what I'm...
And I'm going to wake you up tomorrow at... You can only sleep until noon tomorrow. Now, what do you think about that?
Powerful father figure.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it. So that was the weekend. While my wife, meanwhile, is riding around in a limo in New York.
Very exciting.
Because my mother-in-law stepped on an acorn. Hello, hey, Dennis?
Yes, hi, Mark.
Hello, Dennis. Now, listen, Dennis, we're up on a break.
Okay.
I need you to hold on.
Okay.
Dennis, just tell everybody listening, did you make it to New York for the wedding this weekend?
I made it to New York. I made it just in time for dinner.
Beautiful.
That's good.
Did you remember now we had the listener that invited us to the wedding and the reception this weekend?
Yeah, my good friend RJ Diaz says Dennis had quite a time.
Oh, it was a good time.
Dennis took RJ from the website with him?
Yes.
Yeah,
huh?
Yes. Oh, God.
For pictures.
Oh, my God.
RJ covers a lot of ground for the show. He really does.
Jesus.
He's back out of my house last night.
For your band practice?
Yeah. He's everywhere, Don. And he's RJ Diaz.
Did RJD take pictures for the website?
Yeah. He took pictures of me dancing with the bride.
Right.
Okay. All right. Don't give away too much.
Raymond is everywhere, Don.
I
want
to hear about you dancing with the bride. RJ, all right. Hold on a second, please, Dennis.
Okay. Thank God.
Hold on.
Hey, I love
my
that
good
song.
Friend Raymond Diaz.
What, Dennis?
I love that song. It was a nighthouse. That was a great song.
Oh, all right. Love grows where my rosemary goes. Hey, are you excited about your porno shoot this weekend?
No, it's going to be next Sunday now. The guy booked a strip club for the whole afternoon on Sunday the 11th.
Oh, so Sunday, November 11th is now the date of your shoot.
The Gold Club in Baltimore.
The Gold Club in Baltimore. All right, great. Hold on, Dan.
Okay.
We'll find out about Dennis's weekend representing the Don and Mike show at the wedding up in New York. And, we got to get to the pumpkin contest, Pumpkin Love Part 2. We'll tell you about that right after this.
This is the Don and Mike show.
Gonna bitch slap you. Goddamn linebackers.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That's right, just people. 877-365-3636, the national number. From Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067.
He'll name fire to cannabis. Voila, Donald Geronimo and Michelle O'Mara.
Right, see, giving away lots of money on the show, and all the money we've been giving away recently is courtesy of Simply Wireless and Sprint PCS, offering 2,500 clear wireless minutes for just $39.99 a month. Through Simply Wireless, hit their website, please, at simplywireless.com.
Right.
We will be talking about the pumpkin contest here in just a moment. Dennis is standing by. And I have just received a message from my wife via my wireless email thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see back. Mailbox. Here we go. From Frida.
Yay.
Honey, subject, jury duty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stuck on a trial that will last at least 4 days, up to 7, maybe until next week.
Wow.
Oh, don't get too happy. I'll be home at night.
Ah, so it's not that big a deal.
Won't be sequestered.
XXOO.
It's not a criminal proceeding.
Which means hugs and kisses from my wife. So, you know, whoever it is, good luck to you.
Yeah, that's right. So she's on, she didn't get excused.
No, she didn't.
Wow.
And I bet she didn't drop my name, because I bet that's the easiest way to get out of jury duty.
Yeah,
say you're married to the monster.
Don Geronimo. Dismissed.
Okay, here is now our friend Dennis Murphy.
Hey, how you doing?
Here he is, everybody. So this guy, Rob Grimaldi.
Rob Grimaldi and Jennifer.
About, I don't know, a couple months ago, a guy, he asked the girl to marry him on the show.
Right.
She says yes. As it turns out, they got married, now the ceremony was in Staten Island, Dennis?
Yeah, it was in Staten Island, but we didn't know where the church was, so we just went to the reception.
Shocker that you would just go for the party.
Well, I didn't know where the church was.
Now, wait a minute, hold on. We had a guy call on Friday who gave us the address of the church.
Oh, the address of the country club.
The address of what?
The country club.
Oh.
Here again, Dennis Murphy.
A guy had also said that, you know, you really should go to the ceremony to make the, you know, the couple feel even better.
Yeah, because who doesn't want to, as they turn down the aisle for the first time as Mr. and Mrs. Grimaldi,
right,
see Dennis Murphy?
Absolutely.
Hi, how you doing?
Dennis, what did you,
Once again, here's Dennis Murphy.
Dennis, what did you wear?
Oh, I wore a gray suit with a black shirt and a red tie.
All right, very, very classy. So you arrived at the,
Yeah, Rob, I'm thinking the same.
But,
you say a gray suit?
Yep.
With a black shirt and a red tie?
Yep.
Festive.
Was it light gray or was it charcoal gray?
Light gray.
Light gray.
Once again, Dennis Murphy.
That was surprising to me by today's land by you all. Thank you again.
Terrific. That's one of the suits we got him for free, Mark.
Yeah. That's great. How's it fitting?
Oh, it fitted well.
It's fitted well.
Did the jacket button?
Oh, yeah, the jacket button's fine. No problem.
Excellent.
All right, so you're there. You arrive at the post-game party.
Well, before we go to the post-game, we have to go to the grocery store to get a a 11 card. And as it turns out, RJ was the spent, so he had to get a sewing kit and sew it.
Wait.
Once again, Dennis Murphy.
Well, sometimes even I can't understand.
Oh, okay.
What he said is they were going to a grocery store to get the wedding card, and then RJ ripped his pants.
Yes.
How did RJ rip his pants?
Oh, as he was getting, we went to the hotel, we changed at the hotel, and when he got in my car, that's when his pants went.
All right, so RJ, the guy from DonAndMikeFans.com,
yeah,
he ripped his pants.
Mm-hmm. Raymond.
Yeah, Raymond Diaz. And you had to stop and you had to sew his pants up.
Yeah, and in the meantime, I went to get a wedding car and a gift bag to put my CD and T-shirt in there.
Oh, no, wait a minute. For the wedding gift, you gave them your Christmas CD?
Christmas CD and my Austin Powers T-shirt and my...
Did I hear T-shirts,
yeah, t-shirts
plural? Like perhaps you were going to sell some of your T-shirts?
I just bought two. Not sell anything.
It's a wedding gift, Mike. One for the bride and one for the groom.
Yeah, he couldn't be more generous.
And we gave him $50.
Oh, you gave $50. Well, now, Dennis, that's wonderful.
Here again, Dennis.
Oh, that's terrific, Dennis. Nice. That really is nice.
Once we got to the reception, right?
Yeah.
We walked in there, and I was afraid that I was going to get a lot of scares. But people were nice. People were, we walked in there, RJ and I, and the groom introduced himself, and we had a great time.
How did Raymond handle his split pants?
Actually, he couldn't show a look, so he just put the napkin around his pants for the whole night.
What? Did he rip out just like the crotch area?
Yeah, the crotch area. So as he was sitting, he just put a napkin on his pants.
I gotta think when Dennis and Raymond Diaz walked into this reception, Remember the stuff that I was telling you that the parents were saying about me, like,
oh, here's the monster.
Right. Can you imagine
right.
what they were saying as Dennis walked into this sure. reception in New Jersey?
What is going on? What is that?
Who is actually, I can't believe it.
What is that? Oh, yeah, Raymond got more stares than you did. Yeah. I bet. Why would Raymond get more stares than you would?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know, but it looked like people stared more at him than at us. But
was the
other way around.
Yeah. Was the party as good as they said it was going to be?
Oh, the party was great. The party was excellent. IJ and I sat at the bridal table.
You did?
You are kidding me.
Wow.
that guy, Rob Grimaldi's got a hell of a sense of humor.
Way to go. That's terrific that he put Dennis up at the head table.
Did you? We went with the parents. We went with the bridal party.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So
still, it's better than being at a table just with, like, schmucks that were invited there.
And, you know, Rob did that just for you, guys, like, because he knew that you want us close to the table, so
hey, Dennis, hold on a second. Yeah. Hold on, I got some call. Hey, Big Al?
Hello?
Yeah, Big Al in New Jersey.
Jeff in New Jersey, but that's okay.
Hi, Jeff, sorry.
Hey, how are you? Well, you used to say about, you know, you were talking about how your son scammed you. One of the things I used to do with my parents was tell them I'd be home at 10 or 11, then show up at 10 or 11 the next morning.
Oh, all right. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hold on. Where is
sure that worked well.
Where's Big? Is this Big Al?
Yes, people.
Hi, Big Al.
Hey, what was Dennis's gift? A couple T-shirts and $50?
Yes.
Oof. I was the one that got gave the directions last week.
Yeah.
That place is $1.50 a plate.
What? Well, you know, it's
a brother rough.
If you want to get mad at anybody, Al, you should get mad at us because we didn't supply Dennis with right. with any type of a gift, which I think we probably should have done.
Well, we can always do it retroactively.
No. The man went. The man ate the food. The man drank the booze. The man gives the gift.
I believe you provide a gift every day, guys.
Shut up, Rob.
Shut up.
Hey, Dennis, is Dennis still on the line?
Yeah.
Dennis, how is the chow? I mean, if it was $150 a plate, it had to be quite a shindig.
Well, actually, it was chicken, it was prime rib, and it gave us a potato.
And a potato.
It wasn't, you know, in my opinion, it wasn't looking elaborate, but it was nice.
Oh, my God. Listen to the Donnie etiquette. Listen to him. In my opinion, it wasn't nothing elaborate.
The guy said it was all I was afraid, but it
Hey, Dennis, did you have any of the raw bar during the cocktail hour?
Oh, no. We missed the cocktail hour.
Did they have it? See, that you probably missed, like, the shrimp
you
and the oysters?
You could eat white shrimp.
There you go.
We missed the cocktail hour, so we missed all that. We missed the before.
Yeah, because you were too busy going to the grocery store to get the wedding card.
And don't forget trying to get something for Raymond Diaz's pants that he had ripped. All right, so you get there, and you're sitting at the bridal table.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, at what point does... Oh, hey, listen, Big Al, thank you. I got to let you go.
Thanks, guys. Buzz rocks.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
At what point does the bride or the groom, the bride or the groom come over, say hello to you, and how do you end up dancing with the bride?
Well, actually, the groom came over immediately when I entered the room. When I sat down, okay, we introduced ourselves, and then afterwards, we just ate dinner, sat around talking to the table.
Did you, were there any hot bridesmaids that you hit on?
They were all hot.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you talk to any of them?
I said, hello, how you doing? I'm Dennis,
Did you get any phone numbers?
No, I think they were all taken, though.
Did anybody question why you were there?
Well, actually, we did not get the degree from anyone. They just greeted us like people.
Was anyone visibly disturbed at your presence?
But I don't think so.
Really?
No. Hey, we have a great time.
It's just people, Mike.
Just people.
That's right.
Just people.
Well, I'm sure.
Today's events begun to turn around the public's perception. Here's Dennis Murphy.
I'm sure they're really thrilled with your description as unremarkable of their wedding reception.
So how did you end up dancing with the bride?
I think they were playing Honey Cup. What was that song? Bubble Cup?
Build Me a Buttercup?
Yeah, Build Me a Buttercup. I heard that song. I came up and I said, would you like to dance?
Did you dance?
Jennifer danced with me. Uh-huh.
Did you dance close or did you dance separate?
Oh, well, we just held hand to hand cut.
Well, so you danced like a foxtrot style?
Yeah, the foxtrot.
Oh my God! Did the guys in the hazmat suits come out after that?
No, it was pleasant. It was great time.
Now, did they do those time-honored wedding traditions of the garter?
They didn't do that. I was waiting for that. I was wanted to get the garter so I can bring it back to you two.
Somebody told me that they went to a wedding one time, and the guy that went to a lot of weddings, they would get the garter to be specifically oversized so that the garter would go all the way up every single time. Like it was just like the size of a hula hoop.
Jumbo size.
Absolutely.
But they didn't do that at this wedding. I don't understand.
Did they feed each other cake?
Yes, they did.
Dennis, did you take a nice BM at the reception?
No. I cooked that before.
How about Raymond?
He took one the day after.
The day
How did
after?
You know that?
He told me he had a good BM.
Okay. All right. And your BM was that day?
Oh, no. I didn't have a BM until last night when I got home.
When you got home?
Yeah.
Was it right after you got home?
Okay, go clap.
Okay. So you didn't BM the whole time you were in the tri-state area?
Oh, no.
Did you have dessert at the reception?
Oh, God. You should have saw this table outside. It was full of dessert. It had pasta, ice cream, cake, whatever you wanted.
Did you get drunk?
Oh, yeah. I had around 8 or 9 wine glasses of beer.
Really?
Yeah.
8 or 9 wine glasses of beer?
They filled them up in wine glasses. They gave you beer in wine glasses.
Was it draft beer?
Oh, yeah. No, it was Coors Light.
Coors Light.
Yeah.
That really shouldn't have affected Dennis much, because that's really only the equivalent of about 4 beers, maybe a little less.
Who are you talking to?
I'm at the station. They're announcing the Amtrak thing going to New York now.
You must have just got back. You're at Union Station?
No. I'm like, my job is right by Union Station. No, I'm at McKellen.
He's at the subway station again. He's at the metro stop.
Is that where you go to call
you all? Correct.
How far is that away from your office?
Oh, 2 miles. It's convenient.
So you get in your car and drive over to the metro station to call us?
Yes, to call you all.
Here's Dennis Murphy with a Dateline Court TV exclusive.
They should make it a little easier for poor old Dennis.
And doesn't he have to go there to go to the bathroom, too?
I think so.
No, during that time, when I called you last time, I really have a go, so I'm glad you went to commercial break. And I'm glad you have a 9 minute commercial now, because I got to get everything I want.
Yeah, nice BM. So you had plenty of desserts, you had 9 beers.
Yes.
Did you have a nice buzz on when you left?
Oh, yes. So at Flight Park and Raymond, he goes back.
And did you kiss anyone at the reception?
Actually, I kissed Jennifer on the cheek.
The bride. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Really?
No tongue?
Well, I don't have a tongue, so I couldn't.
Well, you have half a tongue.
Yes, I have half a tongue, so.
Did you get the chance to meet either of the bride or the groom's parents?
Yes, I met both, and they were great people. They could have. I regular people.
Did you dance with any old women?
Actually, I just danced with a couple of bridesmaids. That's it.
All right. Okay. Mm.
Did you embarrass yourself?
What do you mean by embarrassed?
Did you do anything like spill a drink, yourself?
You know, usually I do that, but I didn't do that this time.
So you were on your best behavior?
I was on my best behavior.
Did you sweat through...
I acted like a gentleman and a scholar.
Did you sweat through your suit jacket again?
You know me, Mike.
Right, you did. You sweat it.
He's like Albert Brooks in broadcast news. And did you, most importantly, did you spread the goodwill of Mike and myself? Did you say we wish we could have been there?
Yes, I said, God, I wish I could have been there, but they had another commitment they had to fulfill.
And when did you make your toast?
What toast?
The toast you were supposed to make because you were going up there as our emissary.
Well, I didn't know I was supposed to make the toast, but I just want to let you know, they broadcast before they cut the cake, they broadcast, the proposal. to the whole room.
Oh, wonderful. They played the tape of when he called our show to the whole room. Oh, well, that was... I really feel bad we weren't there.
That's a shame.
It's too bad they played the tape of us, and then they only... Where's the disc jockeys? Well, they're not here, but they...
There they are over there.
Here again, Dennis Murphy.
You know, I see no reason why, for future events like this, Dennis and Raymond can go out as Don and Mike. You know, no one's any the wiser. You know, we can send them to various functions as Don and Mike.
You want to flip a coin on who's going to be who?
I'm partial to Raymond, so I mean, I really would like.
Then I'm lucky. Lucky.
Let me see how it would sound if you introduced yourself as Don Geronimo, Dennis. Say, hey, welcome. You're here for the reception, right?
Yeah.
What's your name?
How do you do? My name is Don Geronimo.
Yeah, perfect. That'll work. Well, Dennis, how would you rate the date on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, it was definitely a 12.
A 12?
Wow, fantastic! Cool. You had a fantastic time.
It was a great time, and I'm glad that you sent me, and we had a great time.
All right, well, there it is, Dennis Murphy, and I'm guessing that your friend Raymond Diaz will have the pictures up on DonAndMikeFans.com very soon.
DennisMurphy.com or DonAndMikeFans.com. I don't know which side is going on, but it will be up before the end of the show.
All right, thank you, Dennis. Thank you for handling that for us.
No problem. Any other events you want me to attend, I'm available.
Well, the porno in 2 weeks.
And thank RJ for us, okay?
Okay,
I love that guy. Then again, everybody loves him.
Everybody loves Raymond. Everybody loves Raymond Diaz. Yeah. All right, thank you, Dennis.
Okay, and Mike?
Yes, Dennis.
Could I represent you all well?
You sure did, Dennis. This was a very pleasant segment to listen to.
Okay. Don?
Yes, Dan.
Have a pleasant day, and thank you. Bud?
Yes, Dennis.
How good talking to you then, Mike?
How you doing, Dennis?
Doing good.
All right, Dennis, good day to you, sir.
Okay, good day to you all.
Good day to you, sir.
And you later.
There he goes. Bye. There he is.
Once again, here's Dennis Murphy.
Time to leave the metro station.
There he is. Time to leave the subway.
Sounds like he had a great time. He loved the dessert cart.
Hello, Peter.
That is a prime candidate for a wah rag for one of my favorite wet-ass rags.
Is this the wah rag guy, inventor?
Come on.
This is the guy that has the device for wiping?
If this is not a prime, the guy is sweating, drinking, getting like he's going up to the chair. If that's not a prime, and walking afterwards to a train station, that's not a prime candidate for a wire rig. Nobody is.
Could you explain your invention that Dennis would use?
Is this Peter from New York?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Don, how are you?
Oh, this is the guy that we met, the guy that invented the
wire rag.
The wire rag.
What exactly is the wire rag?
Wire rag is actually four tissues, preferably a Kleenex. As you spread your cheeks, you give them a little tuck. And the rest of the day, you're good to go.
You keep it
clean, no skid marks, your underwear, and at the end of the night, if it's a hot, sweaty day, you got to party with a little confetti. But most of the time, you got to tighten up rig. They keep you clean and neat and dry.
All right, get out of here, please. Nutty inventor.
Neat and dry.
Goodbye.
You're the best. Love
you. Goodbye. See you. Thank you, Peter.
Goodbye.
I think you're right, though. Dennis could use the wah rag, though.
Oh, many days.
Absolutely.
We've seen those briefs.
You should name it the Dennis Murphy. Yeah, do you remember the day we made Dennis take his underpants off and go down to McDonald's and sell them?
Absolutely. There's a little sunset in his pants.
Got a break? We'll be right back. Oh, pumpkin talk when we come back.
Ooh. Pumpkin.
Pumpkin love phase two right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You do. Go to Rotterdam, then you go to Amsterdam, then you go down the road to my city. That's right. It's a little place called I Don't Give a Damn.
With a lifetime supply of blood in their sack. Don and Mike.
You're damn right. What was that?
I was asking Rob for the air freshener.
Gotcha.
Yeah. For your convenience and pleasure.
Yeah, okay. Now I know why.
Yeah.
Okay.
You might have been the recipient of a couple of those that I didn't spotlight.
Gotcha. Happy weekend. Don and Mike Gutterballs. Tomorrow night, it's a special edition of Tuesday Night Bowling. As our non-world-class bowling team, the Gutterballs, takes on a group called Just Throw the Damn Ball. That's tomorrow night. Hey, Buzz, are you suiting up for this one?
I'm suited up and ready to go.
That's tomorrow night at AMM.
AMF Bowling in Annandale, Virginia.
You know, I might be a little stressed out because I my performing doesn't end on Friday. You know, I actually performed on the weekend. I did a live theater show on the weekend.
I'm going to have to interrupt you for a second.
Yes.
Because we have on the line now both the mother-in-law and the husband from Dennis's wedding.
Okay. All right.
Let's start with Rob Grimaldi, the husband. Hey, Rob.
Yes. Hi, guys.
Hi there.
How you doing?
We're doing great. Let me you can verify if this is your mother-in-law or not. Jennifer?
Hello?
Hi. Is this your mother-in-law, Rob?
Hello?
That is one of my mother-in-laws.
Hello, this is Phyllis.
Phyllis? I had the name Jennifer. How can you have more than one mother-in-law?
Well, my wife has two moms.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. All right, so, well, here they are now. They were both
at You're not going to start ranking on that, are you?
Not at all.
Oh, I mean, the way you ranked on my daughter, right?
How did we rank on your daughter, ma'am?
Oh, man.
What did we do?
You ripped her apart. Don't you remember? She was selling the security.
But was this back when the proposal happened?
Oh, yeah, during the proposal. And then after the show, you told Rob not to let me listen to part of the tape. Oh, he's really dead.
See, that goes back so far that I don't remember.
Something? I loved it.
I don't remember what the exchange was.
Either.
Was there? Was
but I loved it. You said such a great job because you really knew Jennifer.
Was the proposal not met with a great deal of enthusiasm? Is that why we were giving her a hard time?
Right. Yeah, she was like telling you she had to do a security and hold on because she's very serious about her job.
Okay, so she was a little curt with us and we gave her a hard time about it.
It was just totally Jennifer when she was at work and you guys did such a great job with it. My friends at the wedding were hysterical.
Oh, all right, so
they enjoyed it. I just wanted to call to thank you because it was so nice of you guys to send somebody out there.
Are we getting our balls busted here?
I don't know.
No, you're not. Seriously, I'm being nice. I mean,
okay, and really? You didn't mind that Dennis came instead of us?
Oh, well, I would have rather that both of you came, but Dennis was great.
Dennis said he had a wonderful time at the reception.
Oh, sure. Did you miss the beautiful wedding?
That's what we hear. It was wonderful.
And the most beautiful bride.
That's wonderful.
Well, yeah. And
send us some pictures.
Yeah, Phyllis, when you were yelling at us, saying that we were ripping your daughter here, I mean, I know when we got the announcement with the picture in the paper, I said, what a wonderful...
Rob had mentioned that. He had mentioned it. But the way you did it was so perfect because Jennifer is such a fanatic. She folds dirty clothes. I'm serious. She folds dirty clothes before she puts them in the laundry.
You know, this whole thing is a little just too dry for me. I'm not sure I'm tracking with what's going on here.
I think
she's being nice.
I'm being serious.
It started out. What do you mean folding? I mean, she folds what?
Well, I think.
You know when you have dirty laundry?
Yeah.
Well, Jennifer doesn't throw it in a hamper. She folds it into neat piles.
All right, I think what she's saying is, if I remember when we called Jennifer to ask her to marry Rob and we did it on the radio show, Jennifer was...
She had
a very subdued reaction, and I think what Phyllis is telling us is that Jennifer is chock full of stuff like that.
Right.
Quirky behavior?
Is that what I'm getting, like when you're telling me that your daughter now, is it your daughter or your stepdaughter?
My daughter.
Your daughter who came from your womb, when there's dirty laundry, she folds it before she washes it.
Right, she drove us crazy.
Oh, so she's a little anal retentive.
Definitely. Growing up, she used to lock herself in a room, and she always got 100 on a test. That's not just the type of girl she is.
Okay, and so that's why maybe she was very serious the day we called her. Now I understand. I think everything's fine.
Listen, her Aunt Karen is here.
Oh, really?
The whole family's here. We're so excited that you came to the wedding. You can't imagine. We just wish that Don and Mike could have been there. I mean,
put on Karen on.
What?
Put on Karen.
Oh, I'm going to put Karen on, but I want to ask you one question.
Yes, honey. Yes, ma'am.
Where was the gift?
Dennis brought $50.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
And so, I didn't even know he brought a gift. Wasn't that lovely?
He brought a card and $50.
And also two of his CDs, I think.
And a T-shirt.
Yeah, he certainly did. He also brought a CD.
He didn't even give me a lousy shirt.
What's that?
Rob must have took everything. I didn't even get a shirt.
Yeah, you'll have to take that up with your son-in-law.
Oh, I will. I will. All right. Here's Aunt Karen.
Okay, here's Aunt Karen.
Just people.
Rob's very lucky to have the rest
of
his life
with
them. Yes, Karen.
This is Aunt Karen.
Hi, Aunt Karen.
Hello, Karen.
Would you relay a message to Rob and Jennifer?
Rob's on the phone with us right now.
Okay, good. Would you tell him that Aunt Karen loves them both very much, and I still have a hangover from the wedding.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay, and I want them to enjoy their honeymoon.
That's great. Where are you honeymooning, Rob? You don't have to be specific, but what part of the world?
We're on our way right now to Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, that's terrific.
Oh, you have a good time
up. That'll be neat. That'll be a good time of year to go up there. Kind of chilly, but it'll be fun.
Hey, put Phyllis back on.
Okay, take care, guys.
Take care, Aunt Karen. Thank you, Aunt Karen.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah, they want you again, Phyllis.
Guys, what did I do with my life?
Hi, what's up?
Hey, listen, how do you feel about Rob violating your daughter up at Martha's Vineyard?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
There you go.
I hope they make babies.
There you go.
Well, that's what she wants.
I have four grandchildren. I want more.
That's
listen
good.
To her.
Lots of babies.
Listen to her. What makes Rob such a great son-in-law, do you think?
Oh, well, that's going to take a while for me to answer that question. Mm. He's a great person. He's the kindest person I've ever met. I have a handicapped son-in-law.
Yes.
And my daughter bought a house on Staten Island, and there's no elevator installed yet, but yet Rob comes over and carries him piggyback upstairs.
Oh, that's terrific.
That'll stop now that he's married.
Into the shower. I mean, he's the most gentle, kindest person I've ever met so far.
Trust me.
That's good.
I've been married 20 years. All that nice stuff, that's over now.
Yeah, it goes out the window.
Oh, I know it's over.
Absolutely.
It's over now. Now he's going to turn into just a big lump who lays on the couch and watches TV.
Oh, well, he is a big lump. I got to tell you.
There you go.
Lump.
He is a big lump.
Oh, and, man, but he's the nicest big lump you ever met.
And, Rob, what about Phyllis, your mother-in-law here?
What about Phyllis, my mother-in-law?
You better be nice.
Yes, your opportunity,
She's great. She's very outspoken. And right. She's very protective of her family.
Well, may I say, having been married once before, you know, and I love my mother-in-law currently, but my previous experience was with a mother-in-law would indicate that outspokenness is a wonderful quality in a mother-in-law.
Just people, Mike.
Just people.
They're just people.
Silence.
Well, listen, Phyllis, it was wonderful to meet you. We're going to grill Rob a little bit about the wedding now.
Okay, but tell him to make sure he does the right thing on his honeymoon. I want a grandchild.
No problem.
Okay. Hey, you hear that, Rob? You hear that from your mother-in-law? Don't use a rubber.
That's right. You want make
That's
babies.
That's right. No rubbers. Goodbye, John. Goodbye, Mike.
Goodbye, Phyllis.
Bye-bye, go on.
Good day to you. Hey, Rob, yeah, oh, I won't say this. Hold on a second. Rob?
Yes.
I won't say this with you, but your mother-in-law's gone now. No anal. Okay? No anal on this honeymoon.
She wants babies.
I have enough time to work up to it.
So you had a good time, Rob, at the wedding?
Oh, we had a great time.
And Dennis, really, did he behave himself okay?
Dennis and RJ were great.
That's
they
good.
Were That's fantastic.
Good. That's fantastic. I'm glad he had a good time
Maybe
with those
guys. Was Dennis drunk?
No, I don't think so. Not at all.
Smart
Maybe towards the end of the night.
Smart move putting his beer in wine glasses.
Yeah.
And you didn't mind when Dennis danced with Jennifer?
No, not at all. He was a perfect gentleman, and when he kissed her, he didn't use half a tongue.
There you go. That's fantastic.
All right, well, good guy. Listen, congratulations.
Thank you.
Knocked the bottom out of that thing this week.
Okay.
I'm talking.
Well, my bride is here. She'd like to say hello.
Talking about her. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, hold on.
The lovely Mrs. Grimaldi.
Here you go.
Hi, Donna, Mike. How you doing?
It's Jennifer Grimaldi, everybody.
Hi, Jennifer. The bride.
The blushing bride.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great. So how does it feel to be Mrs. Robert Grimaldi?
It feels different.
Well...
Will you mind if people refer to you as Mrs. Robert Grimaldi?
I guess I can deal with it.
How about the little woman?
No, thanks.
The ball and chain.
Nah.
The woman behind the man.
All right, that I can deal with.
The woman behind the man.
Very good. Yeah. Your mom tells us that you are, like, chock full of issues.
I just am a little neat.
Well, that's
I just
gonna
like
be...
things neat and organized.
Is Rob a neat man?
No, unfortunately.
So you'll be cleaning up after him?
That's what I do regularly, yeah. I already have a child, so don't listen to my mother. I don't need to have any more.
So you have a child from a previous relationship?
No, Rob.
Have a child. Now I understand.
Rob does. Well, then the pressure's really on you, being as we now know that Rob knows the secret formula.
Yes.
The pressure's on you, and your mom was saying she wants a grandchild ASAP.
That's nice.
Do you have regular? Do you have lots of contact with your mom?
Oh, yeah. She calls 100 times a day.
Are you going to have a lot of sex with Rob on this honeymoon?
Hey, this is getting X-rated.
Yeah, well, that's the way we like it.
It's a honeymoon.
Are you going to have lots of sex on the honeymoon, like every day or twice a day?
Oh, yeah.
24/7.
That's the right attitude.
She might get honeymoon cystitis.
Oh, God. Stop it.
I've got to get off the phone.
All right, well, listen, Jennifer.
I'm going to put Rob back on, but I want to let you know Dennis was the perfect gentleman. He asked for my permission to give me a kiss on the cheek.
Congratulations, Jennifer.
And then he asked me to give him a kiss on the cheek. He was very nice.
There you go. That's good.
And you can always tell when Dennis is drunk because he slurs.
And you can always tell when he asks for a kiss on the cheek. Then he pulls his pants back up.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot,
all right,
guys.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Here's Rob. Hold on.
There she is. The
very nervous.
Hey, guys, that's my wife.
The widow Grimaldi.
Congratulations,
she's no Frida, but I'll take her.
Yeah, she's no Frida, but trust me, she has all the characteristics. She's a, you know what she is? She's an FIT. She's a Frida in training.
Absolutely. And very close relationships with your mother-in-law work.
Well, Frida sounds excellent, so if she turns out to be similar, I'll be very happy.
You just wait. You can be like me. You're going to have a low jack in your penis. You're going to have a ring between your nostrils.
Right.
And you're just going to be pulled around like an animal for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you enjoy your matriarchy.
I will, as long as it lasts.
All right.
Yeah. Well, we'd love to see you guys next time you're in New York. Wow.
As long as it lasts. Listen, I know that you can't say anything with your wife there. Cough. If you think the marriage will last more than 5 years. Cough if you think it will last more than 10 years.
And now cough if you think it will last a lifetime.
Guys, let's put it this way. I think the marriage will last so long that if I had the flu, I couldn't produce enough coughs.
That's very nice.
Very romantic.
That's charming.
Okay.
You're
hope it's not anthrax.
That's wonderful. Thanks for working anthrax into it. Very
all
cool.
Right, congratulations, Rob.
All right, guys.
Have a great honeymoon.
Take care.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You're very welcome.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
There he is.
Just people.
Just people.
Just people.
Grimaldi's.
You know, I say call him Phillips Head, because that guy is screwed. He is screwed, blue, and tattooed.
But I think the mother is charming.
Oh, my God.
Buena suerte.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
God. Welcome to Channel 2 News. Homicide in Flushing. Rob! After 2 days of marriage, Robert Grimaldi has killed his mother-in-law, Phyllis.
Rob, I need to talk to Jennifer.
Her last words, she went down screaming, "Where was the gift?"
Okay, there's the update from Dennis and from the bride's mom. And Jesus Christ, what a mess. Hello, Tim.
Hi, I just wanted to call you guys. I'm in California. Bought your football picks this weekend. You guys suck. The only one that did halfway decent was Leslie Visser this weekend.
All right, well, thanks for that bulletin.
Thank you for the support.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Jimmy the Greek checking in.
I'll tell you, Brett, what's he doing now? He's dead, isn't
he's
he?
He's dead, right.
He's dead like 5 years, isn't he?
Yeah, right. He's eating dirt now.
He screwed up bad and then he died.
That's what he's doing.
There you go.
All right, we got a break. Hold on. We got a couple minutes. Your thing this weekend?
I was the Wizard of Oz.
That's right, at a haunted house, correct?
Yes, the Wizard of Oz, and Dorothy was supposed to follow the bloody brick road. And for some reason, that's why I'm full of gas today. But outside of that, nothing much more happened. No. I was in a room playing the Wizard of Oz. They had two fans with, the streamers, the green streamers?
Sure.
And then we had a smoke machine, and then I was I had a cigarette going, and I had my drink in back of me that I had to hide each time the families would come through.
You're the drunk Wizard of Oz.
Well, towards the end of the day, I was supposed to say, silence, why are you here? And I'm Dorothy. Silence, I know who you are, Dorothy. You must go to the graveyard of pumpkins, and then you and your little dead dog Toto, too, will find your way back to Kansas. And then the smoke would come up, and we'd have this big booming sound.
It's a big thing you do in your neighborhood, right?
Yeah, it's a neighborhood little thing, a little haunted house that we have up there. But this kid, one of these kids that came through, there were some ruffians there. One of the kids threw hot cocoa on one of the participants in the house, and then one of the kids came in. There were some incorrigibles
threw it in her face, right?
Yeah, the way I wasn't there, but I heard it was very bad. Nobody was hurt, but it was a very bad scene.
Then
one of the kids comes through, and my room in this big house, we do it in this old abandoned house, and my room was the last one where the Wizard of Oz hangs out, and I was wearing a Johnny Carson turban, you know, like he wore for Karnak.
Karnak.
And some kid came in and dropped a stink bomb in the house. And And one of my monkeys that was guarding me, Steve, my friend Steve, just thought it was me the whole time until they had found out that in another room somebody dropped a stink bomb. And the irony of all that is the fact that I'm making my own stink bombs today.
Yes, you are.
It smells a little bit like the room there. But it was much fun was had by all. It was absolutely fantastic.
I can imagine by the end of the night when you had a couple of drinks. Hi, kids!
Well, I actually would, I changed the script every time Dorothy would come in, because it gets boring doing, you know, the same thing. Why are you here? You must go to the graveyard of pumpkins and do that. So I made him gay one time. You know? So they came in and said, I said, who are you? And she said, I am Dorothy. I know who you are.
You must go to the graveyard of pumpkins. Have fun, Dorothy. Run along now.
Mommy, why is the Wizard of Oz a fag?
Because the Wizard of Oz got bored halfway through.
Hello, Jared.
Hey, Doc.
Hey, hi, Jared. You're on the air.
Beautiful. I just want to vent to your New York listeners as being a recent person to move to New York City, and I hate the Yankees. It is good to see them go down for once.
Oh, now listen, stop it. My only comment is I believe in game number 3 on Tuesday night, the Yankees should all wear dresses.
Yeah.
I think they should wear, like, Shirley Temple dresses.
Just to distract the opposition?
Well, I mean, if they're going to play like they played the last two games.
Pretty much overpowered by Curt Schilling and
Put on a dress. Yeah. But the good news is...
I was in the Post the other day shopping for a new sundress for just this occasion.
Oh, shut up. The good news is that they're not going to get those guys for a couple days now. They're not going to get Schilling or Johnson for a couple of days.
Well, I found the most interesting thing watching the game last night, watching Randy Johnson's wife, to imagine that a woman that fetching... That attractive with that thing crawling on top of
him. He's got like 10 zeros, though, after his paycheck.
That's the way it works.
Remember, she's not, and in that case, she's definitely not effing the face.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, she's effing the wallet.
And I also was reminded to watch The Tick on Fox with their little superimposed thing, which drives me out of my mind.
Not too annoying. You know those ads that baseball has behind the batter?
Right.
Well, during the World Series, I always thought the rule was that they would just have, like, generic Major League Baseball stuff up.
Yeah, or bunting or something like that, you know, for the World Series.
But Fox, in a move to make even more money, because they, you know, they're so cash poor, what they've done is they've sold them out. And the way that they've done it, it's electronic. Mm-hmm. So if you're at the stadium,
you can't see it.
You just see like that Major League Baseball, the pose of the guy and the logo.
It's digitally, you know, inserted. It's the same way they put that first down line.
Yes,
they do that, and it's horrible. I mean, it's just sitting there glowing the head of the Tick, and I'm trying to watch the game. It's horrible. I mean, it's the worst thing. It is absolutely abominable that they do this, because it's not even, if it was a regular ad, that doesn't get in the way. But when you see this, like, glowing poster for Ally McBeal...
But it did get in the way, because they changed it so much.
It sucked. It was really... I mean, it's really, really horrible, and they ought to do away with it. I mean, there are other ways they can do it. You know, mention... That's what the announcers are... You know, be sure and watch The Tick. Instead of just sitting there the whole time, there were a couple of times I couldn't concentrate on the game because I'm seeing that, you know, picture of him with the antenna.
All right, that dumbass sound was for Fox.
Dumbasses.
For doing that, dumbasses. And just you wait about the Yankees, my friend.
Right.
Just you wait.
I pray. Go Red Sox.
Oh, F you.
Red Sox.
Get out of here.
Oh, excuse me, my knee.
Stupid ads on Channel 5. Have you seen, you know, all the TV stations? Rob, I know we got a break. Give me 30 seconds on this timing.
Ready?
Okay.
Go.
The TV stations all start the rating sweeps.
Right.
So now they're all running the ads with the stuff that can scare you, except they, like, we're in a war with anthrax, so they can't do the really scary stuff.
Right.
So I saw the one yesterday for Channel 5 where they go, in November, who's stealing your power? Who are the electricity bandits? And then they have Mike Landis walking down the street, and he goes, just you watch. And then it's something else like, is your child's candy safe this Halloween? And then it's Tracy Neal going, just you watch.
Time!
Oh, my God.
Sucks. Sucks. Sucks my D. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Get out of here, Curtis. I don't hear you unless you knock.
can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yeah, right. Please focus on the show. All right, now listen. National lines for New York, D.C., Seattle, Portland, Las Vegas, Iowa City. I don't know who else is carrying the show live. That's all I got for sure. National line 877-365-3636. And Washington, D.C. 202-432-1067.
Working for ye, the Don and Mike Show.
All right. Last week we did the pumpkin love thing.
Right.
And now our spooktacular continues. We're giving away thousands of dollars, all of the money courtesy of Simply Wireless.
They are simply charming.
Simply Wireless Sprint PCS with a one-year Sprint PCS Advantage agreement. You get 350 anytime minutes and over 2,000 night and weekend minutes. Hit their website. Hit it often.
Hit it hard.
Hit it with your rhythm sticks. SimplyWireless.com. So they've given us all this money to give away, and we did the pumpkin thing last week. Tomorrow on the show, we're having a... Some lady named Echo Bodine. She's a real-life Ghostbuster.
Echo Bodine?
That's her name.
It's not Bodine.
Could it be Bodine,
no,
Danny?
It's Bodine.
Hello there, Echo.
Echo Bodine.
I just want to go down to the cement pond, Echo.
And for our Halloween extravaganza on Wednesday, Mr. Skin will be here, and he will have... His favorite scary movies with nudity.
He is a genius.
It is Bodine, Granny.
Oh, it is Bodine.
It's Bodine. Jethro Bodine.
Hello, Echo.
I sure am crazy. Miss Jane? Miss Jane, is there a chance we could get those ghosts out of the castle?
Echo Bodine.
Wow. Yes, sirree. I'm building me a casino hotel. My name is Echo Bodine Bear.
Not for sure it'd be Bodine. It'd be like the race car driver. Right. I mean, who wants to be named Bodine?
Me!
Right, well, except for you, Jeff.
Me, Granny. How about some possum?
So tomorrow... Listen, we're going to start our Halloween spooktacular. Oh, great news. The music's back. Yeah. This has got a brief shelf life on it. We can only play the crap out of this song for about a week, once a year.
Well, you know why that is.
Why?
Because it scares us so much.
Scared, kid?
It's scary, Don.
It's time, kids.
It's almost time, kids.
Clock is ticking. Be in front of your TV.
I always picture a monkey with knives. When this song is playing, and the monkey's got cymbals attached to the knives, and then he plays them right now.
So, tomorrow on the show, and we're going to take your calls now. 877-365-3636. 202-432-1067. Don and Mike Show, we are gender friendly, guys and girls. The question is...
Oh, hold on a second. That was... Hold on. Let me get a better one.
The question is... God damn, how long does it take? The question is...
That is so gross.
God, that's horrible.
The question for tomorrow's contest is...
God.
We're getting some kind of some kind of CB
That's
interference.
Really amazing.
The question for tomorrow's show is.
God.
I'm simply trying to ask a question here.
I don't know.
The question for tomorrow. The question.
Oh, God.
The question for tomorrow's show is. If I could just get the question out without this interference. Yeah. It's a simple question that I have for our listening audience tomorrow.
No good.
No good.
The question for you,
Jesus,
the radio consumer, is this.
Okay.
The question is,
How much pumpkin pie can you eat?
And ain't talking like a piece of pie.
No, no.
I'm talking how many pies.
How many pies can you eat?
How many pumpkin pies can you eat?
Now, I want to say, if you enter this contest, you got to know these ground rules.
All right, good.
Rule number one, you got to know what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
Rule number two, seriously, you got to love to eat pumpkin pie.
Yeah, I would say loving pumpkin pie is probably a good prerequisite for this contest.
Third rule, like at the Dixie Stampede down in Myrtle Beach at Dolly Parton's place.
Right.
No knives, no forks, no spoons.
You know, really, if you're going to really make it a good contest, no hands.
What of it? We got to go with the speed aspect.
Okay.
So people can't actually pick the pie up and eat it. Because what we're going
to
do...
You want them to eat the crust, too.
Now you got
to
eat everything. We're going to start like this, with guys and with girls. It'll be a separate contest for the guys, separate contest for the girls.
Okay.
Eat your first pie in 2 minutes. We'll pay you on the spot $200.
Serious money.
Immediately afterwards, eat a second pie in 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, these are store-bought pies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We'll go to $300.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Immediately after that, on top of the $200 you've already won, immediately after that, eat a third pie within 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
And you win how much? Was it $200, $300?
$300.
You win $400.
Wow.
Ooh.
Immediately after that, eat an entire pumpkin pie in 30 seconds.
Right.
And win $400.
Incredible. Those are the people I'd like to see.
Oh, meaning that if you eat the first one for $200, the second one for $300,
mm-hmm.
the third one for $400, and the fifth one for $500,
five pies in a total of two.
That's $1,400.
Four and a half. So if you eat a total of five pies in 5 minutes, you'll win.
Well, no, there's only four pies, right? Because you eat the first pie in 2 minutes. You get $200.
Right, second pie a minute and a half?
Second pie a minute and a half, you get $300 more. Third pie in 1 minute.
Right.
You win $400 more.
Fourth pie in
30 seconds.
So four pies in 5 minutes.
Two, 330, 435, yes. Absolutely, but you got to do it. But you can't do it like that. You can't.
No, I understand. Right. You got to consume the pie like you're. So what you're saying basically is your first pie is going to be, if you're anybody at all, you got to eat that first pie and make some money. And you know, as it gets more difficult, it's going to be tougher.
Now, anyone who enters this contest, you can't just eat a pie in 2 minutes and then say I quit. You have to move along.
Really?
You have to move along mm-hmm. to the next round.
Right.
And if you move along to the next round, if we determine that you're not giving it your all,
yes,
we're going to take the money back.
Oh my God.
See, what I don't want is people coming down, because really, I've been like to parties and stuff with people, and I know, well, look at Rob. Rob could eat a pie in 2 minutes.
Sure.
No, I could eat a pie in 2 minutes. You could eat a pie in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, if you think about it.
I couldn't eat a pie in 30 seconds. It'll be a special individual that can do that, especially right. with three pies already in their belly.
And when the body begins to reject the pie,
mm-hmm.
that's when you don't win, right? So really, your body determines whether or not
win. That's right.
That's right.
Now, we are going to have tarps in here.
Tarpaulins.
We're going to have tarps in here tomorrow.
Yeah, to bounce up and down. Hey, that makes their pie eating a lot more fun. So we're going to have big trash buckets.
You bet we are.
With lots of plastic bags.
A vomitorium in here.
Very good.
So the deal is, if you're a serious eater, now if you're really serious and you can do this, and you won't have to do it back to back to back to back to back. I mean, if you eat the first pie in 2 minutes or less, we'll give you a minute or two in between.
To collect yourself. What about a glass of water?
Sure, you can have water, you can have milk.
You can have a beverage.
Apple juice, whatever you like.
Vodka.
Yeah, sure, I don't care. Then the second one, again, we'll give you time in between. And we're going to have a max on this of contestants of five guys and five girls.
Very good.
That's the max.
We're going to have them come in one at a time?
One at a time.
Very good.
So it'll be 2 minutes.
It's going to be smelling like pumpkin pie here.
Eat the pie in 2 minutes? Great. Take a break. Collect yourself. Have some water. Eat the next pie in a minute and a half.
This contest really for people who love pumpkin pie.
Yeah, and for big eaters. and again, if you can do all of this, eat the first pie in 2 minutes or less. Eat the second pie in a minute 30 or less. Third pie in 1 minute or less. Fourth pie 30 seconds or less, you will walk out of here tomorrow with $1,400.
Incredible.
Wow. So, having said all of that, do we have any takers?
That's
Hello,
a good question.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, how's it going, Don?
Hi, it's going great, my friend.
First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can't wait. I'll be there tomorrow, no problem. I have a good long history of eating a lot of food.
A lot of food. Okay, what's your name, my friend?
My name's John.
Johnny, where are you
from? Big Johnny.
I am from Annandale.
All right, John, we'll meet you down here right at the beginning of the show.
No problem.
Hold on, Lisa will give you the information. John?
Yeah.
Need to know how tall you are, how much you weigh?
I'm about 5'10". I'm weighing in at about 240, 245.
Attaboy.
That's our guy.
That's pumpkin pie eating territory there.
Dynamite workout plan. Thank you. Hold on a second.
Thank you.
Do you think I should make it easier for the girls?
No.
Okay. I won't.
Equal opportunity.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Is this another contestant?
Yeah, man.
Hey, what's your name?
Kevin.
Kevin, where are you from?
Sterling.
Kev. Now, does this sound like something you could really do?
Piece of cake. Piece of pie.
Piece of pie, if you'll pardon
the pun. Piece of pie.
What do you do, Kev?
I'd rather not say.
All right, no problem with that. We need you down here at the beginning of the show tomorrow.
No problem.
Okay, hold on, please.
And we're looking for lovely ladies who are big eaters
there
also.
There you go. Nancy.
Yeah.
You going to play?
It's Jim Nance.
Sure.
Nancy, where are you from?
Columbia, Maryland.
Honey, you sound so dainty. How are you going to eat all this pie?
I'm going to try, man. I love to eat.
God bless you.
Love to eat.
And you like pumpkin pie?
I love pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie.
And incidentally, never pronounce the P, okay? For our purposes, it's pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie. And now listen, I'll give you this. For instance, if Nancy or any of our contestants, they eat the first pie in 2 minutes, great. Eat the second pie in minute 30, you get the money. If you, like, start to barf or something, depending on how we're feeling, if you're really giving it the old college try,
you get to keep what you've earned up until that point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I might even give you some or all of the money of the pie that you're on.
Very good.
So, I mean, as long as people go into this with the attitude that they're going to try to eat as much pie as possible.
That it's serious pie eating.
It. Yeah, it'd be very very loose with the money, being as it's not our money to
good.
Give away.
Good.
It's all courtesy of simplywireless.com. All right, Nancy, you need to know some specifics on you. How tall are you? How much you weigh?
5'4", 125.
Beautiful. Hold on there, Nancy.
Very good.
See you tomorrow.
Two guys and a girl so far.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
And a pumpkin pie.
Yeah, I'd like to try for the pie contest, please.
Sure. What's your name?
Brian.
Brian, where are you from?
Clinton.
How old are you, Brian?
37.
Height, weight?
6'2", 280.
Oh, fantastic. Hello. So this doesn't even pose any real problem to you, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It sounds like a regular Thanksgiving dinner, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, hold on a second.
Thanks.
And you know what? I'll say something else, and you got to bring this on your own. I'll go $50 extra on each pie if you go a la mode.
Oh, God.
If you bring your own ice cream and put a scoop of ice cream on each pie.
So that means not only would they be battling the speed factor, but also
confronting
the horrible ice cream headache.
Cold. Ice cream headache. I won't go double, but you could make another 50, 100. You could make another $200.
With a little ice cream.
If you go a la mode. Just one scoop.
One scoop. What about whipped cream?
No, I don't pay nothing for whipped cream.
Right.
Hello.
But if somebody wants to put whipped cream on their pie,
sure.
For flavor.
Sure, absolutely.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up? I'll eat some pie.
Are you a serious contestant?
Yes, sir.
What's your name?
Dylan.
Dylan, where are you from?
Centerville.
Dylan, how much you weigh? How tall are you?
200 pounds, 6 feet.
All right, now, Dylan, you understand the concept here? You'll come
into
the studio, we'll give you a pumpkin pie, you'll have 2 minutes to eat it with your hands. You got to eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
Then we'll give you a minute and a half to just chill. Then you've got to eat the next pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
You got to eat the next one in a minute 30. Do that, we'll give you another respite. Then you got to eat the fourth pumpkin in 1 minute.
How are you going to be judging the crusts? Like, if they eat all of the crust right up to that hard part, or will the entire crust have to be consumed?
Everything's got to go.
That right there, that's going to make the degree of difficulty a little more significant.
Well, so we got five guys already?
Yep.
We got five guys?
Guys and one girl.
That means we need four more girls.
Four dainty creatures that want to participate.
Hold on, Dylan. You know, let me find one guy just as an alternate.
Good idea.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I want to enter the contest.
All right, you're the last guy. You're going to be the alternate. What's your name?
My name's Nathan.
Nathan, where are you from?
Crofton, Maryland.
Nathan, this whole pie thing, does this appeal to you?
What's in it?
Does this pie thing appeal to you?
Yeah, it does.
Beautiful. Nathan, how tall are you? How much do you weigh?
6'1", 320.
Oh!
There you go. I wish he wasn't an alternate.
Okay. Well, if he gets down here fast enough,
yeah.
We'll let him play.
Fantastic.
Okay, you're in, Nathan.
All right, thanks a lot.
Hold on a second. Now, listen, girls. It's almost time. We've got six guys and only one girl. Now, Mike doesn't think we should go with more money for the girls or give them any kind of an advantage.
I thought we came to that decision together.
No. Well, I asked you because I thought maybe we should, but yeah, there's no reason. A girl can eat as much as a guy can.
I think so.
Yeah, and there'd probably be a reason why we could up the ante for the women participating.
If they took their shirts off.
Thank you. I know I'm a one-trick pony, but you know it works.
That's okay, Mr. Ed. That's fine with me. Yeah, girls, if you want to do it topless, we'll double the money. Meaning?
You are P.T. Barnum.
Meaning that if a girl goes topless and eats all four pumpkin pies, she'll walk out tomorrow with $2,800.
Oh, my God. That would be quite a show.
The bare-breasted beauty would have to eat the first pie in 2 minutes, the second pie in 1:30, third pie in 1 minute, and fourth pie in 30 seconds.
Now, your non-topless price for the first pie would be, what, $200?
$400.
$400 for the, if she's topless.
If she's topless.
That'll be a $400 pie where you come down there. Hey, I know a lot of women that are in great shape that can eat a pie in 2 minutes.
But remember, you got to give it the old college try on the second one.
Right.
If you come down and just eat the first pie in 2 minutes, because you know you can.
Right.
And then you don't, and then on the second one, you're lackadaisical.
Right.
And well, then you're out of here.
But after the second one, that's when they can cry uncle.
Yeah. Or until they barf. So, girls, we need four more girls at 877-365-3636, 202-432-1067. Of course, you'll hear it all here on this Don and Mike station. We'll be right back.
So let's see, shall we? Good morning. Hello.
Hi. This is Hans.
Hello, Hans.
I'm 17. I'm wondering what kind of good German car I could buy. I was thinking about a Volkswagen, maybe a Passat.
Is it a Volkswagen?
Yes. My dad likes it. His name is Dieter. But I'm not quite sure.
We spoke to him. Yes, we have spoken. This must be Dieter's son. He's the Unterdieter, actually.
Unterdieter,
yeah.
Unfortunately, Hans couldn't buy on his own. He's still going to need Dieter.
He's going to need Dieter to co-sign that loan?
And it's a Volkswagen.
It's a, no, Volkswagen, I thought.
A Volkswagen?
Volkswagen.
Volkswagen.
German engineering is quite excellent.
Excuse me?
We're still here.
I'm sorry. My cell phone's breaking up.
You should have bought German.
Excuse me?
You should have bought a German cell phone.
I should have. In retrospect, that would have been a good idea.
Now, would you be interested if we could get you a Volkswagen painted with the German flag?
How could you not?
Well, then we'll look into that for you, I promise.
Thank you.
Wie geht's? Auf Wiedersehen.
Good day to you, sir.
I said good day. Goodbye. All right. I don't know what's happening here.
That was my son, crank calling the Rob Spielwagon.
That was the chip off the old block right there.
There he goes.
Nothing but the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, I always like doing this with a song. Who loves Nazis?
Rob Spielwagon.
Who loves him?
Rob Spielwagon. Nothing strange.
Who hates blacks?
Oh my god.
Who hates
blacks?
Oh, I got it. Oh, I screwed it up there. He hates Jews. He's the minister of hate. Who's in the KKK?
Rob Spielwagon.
Who hates
hates all.
Rob, beware.
An invisible man sleeping in your bed.
Oh, who says for whites only?
Rob, beware.
Exactly like the singers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's get some more girls here for the big... for the big show tomorrow, the Pie Show. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is Jessica.
Jessica.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, honey, you want to play?
Yes, but can you tell me more details? Because I'm at work. My husband listens to you guys all the time, and he called me up, and he's like, you got to call Donna Mike. They're having this pie eating contest.
It's always like this, isn't it?
And that would suit me.
This is a woman who wants to be sold.
Okay.
If it's free pie, I'll take it anyway, but I want to know what money's involved here, too.
Okay. All right. Here you go, honey. You eat one pie, no utensils. You just use your hands.
Okay.
Eat one pie in 2 minutes. We pay you $200.
Okay.
Then you get a break.
Okay.
A brief break. You come back. You come back.
Just
right,
breathe.
You come right back in. You eat a second pie in a minute and a half. We pay you $300
more. Oh, cool.
You take another brief break. And by brief break, I mean like 1 minute.
Okay.
You eat a third pie in 1 minute. We pay you an extra $400.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yes,
I can do this.
Then you take another brief break.
It's a pie eating contest.
Then you eat a fourth pumpkin pie.
I need money. Okay, I'm sorry. Go on.
The whole pie in 30 seconds, and you win $500 more. Meaning if you eat all four pies in the time that we give you, you win $1,400.
And there's a chance to double your cash.
How?
Do it topless.
Well, I was going to ask if there's any advantage to having nice boobs, but if I have to eat the pie topless...
Yes, then we double the money.
Yeah, now, for example, your first pie, if you had your shirt on, would be a $200 pie. If you eat it topless, you would take home $400 for the first pie to eat in 2 minutes.
Okay, let me ask you something.
Yes.
Is this girls against guys, or am I in a league of my own?
This is simply a one-on-one competition.
One-on-one, it's you and the bank account.
All right.
We are looking at tomorrow giving away perhaps more money than we have been budgeted for this contest.
Wow.
So what, do you have your flavor of pies picked already?
No, they're pumpkin. They're all pumpkin pies.
Okay.
Pumpkin pie. So listen, are you in or out, honey?
Yeah, I'm in.
And okay. Will you be eating your pie sans shirt or with shirt?
When do I have to make the decision?
Nope, you have till tomorrow.
All right. Well, see ya. Then I'll think about it.
All right. Okay. Hold on.
Very nice.
All right.
Hold on a second. Here now is Katrina. Hi, Katrina.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi, you want to? You want to play, honey?
Yes, I'm in. I want to eat pumpkin pie.
Now, Katrina, don't just look at the pie. Eat it.
Yeah. Katrina, where are you from?
I'm Stafford.
From where, honey? I'm sorry?
Stafford.
Stafford, VA. All right. Did you give your information to Lisa and Joe?
Yes, I did.
Okay, hold on. Let them double check with you. We'll see you tomorrow, Katrina.
All right, great. Thanks.
Okay, here now is Joni. Hi, Joni. You want to play?
Yes, I do.
Oh, listen to this.
Joni loves pie.
The girl's name. You know, it's Joni loves Chachi, right?
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard that one. That's good.
I know. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Joni.
Joni, where are you from?
Kidding, of course.
Sterling, Virginia.
You like eating pie?
Oh, yeah, baby.
All right, honey. Hold on a second. We'll get all your information. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Okay, thank you.
Hold on a second. Here is Chelsea.
Hi.
Chelsea Clinton.
No.
Chelsea Clinton. Chelsea.
No.
Hi, where are you from, Chelsea?
Southern Maryland.
You want to come down and play this game tomorrow?
Yes, I do.
You like pie?
I like pie enough to get $1,400 out of it.
Right. Thinking about doing a topless?
Thinking about it.
Okay.
I don't know if that's such a good thing, though. Eating pie and not having a shirt on.
Well, it is. It's fine. It's a very good thing.
Kidding. It's a great thing.
It might not be very attractive.
Well, you know, it depends who's calling the attractiveness of the event.
Exactly.
I mean, it could get all over you. It'd be a big mess.
No, we're going to be far enough away, and we'll have tarps on the floor.
I mean, it could get all over you.
But that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that would be okay, a little pumpkin.
You look good in anything you eat.
Oh, okay.
Well, listen, you think about it. You get back to us, okay?
I will let you know.
Okay, here is Tina. You know, we have an alternate for the guys. We'll have an alternate for the girls, too. Hi, Tina.
Hey.
Honey, you want to enter the contest?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Fantastic. You like pumpkin pie?
Yes, I do.
So, Rob, how many pies do you think you're going to have to buy tomorrow?
Oh, well...
Like what? Do you think 40 pies, maybe?
How many? We got five guys, five women?
We've already put in an order for 30 pies, and I'm doing the math because it would have to average, you know, then 3 pies a person. We'll see. What we may do is we may buy 30, and then if we get down to the wire, we got a grocery store right up the street.
Yeah. There you go, 30 pies.
Why don't we buy 40, just to be sure?
Well, isn't there a finite number on this, right?
I mean, it can be no more than 40.
It can't be more than 40, so you get 40 pies, you're set.
Yeah, I get 40.
I mean, that would be if everybody was to do it successfully, and you never know. Wouldn't that be something? That would have. Then we'd have to have one of those meetings, wouldn't we?
Yes, we would.
One of those meetings where we get
already figured out.
No, actually, I'm having a meeting with the people from simplywireless.com today.
Yeah, and you're going to explain to them that if we get some turbo pie eaters,
that we might have to go over budget a little bit.
And that meeting will smell like nutmeg.
I feel kind of responsible for that with my topless suggestion.
Well, don't worry. I'm the one that doubled it up. Don't worry. You know, as always, as one.
How are you planning on eating your pies, ma'am?
With my hands.
I think Mike meant, are you going to do it topless? Yeah.
I don't know if you'd want to see a grandma topless or not.
How old are you, darling?
Oh, man, 42.
42, a young grandma.
42. Well, yeah, you know, things happen like that.
Right. Just people.
Just people. Right.
Just people.
Just people.
Just right. People.
Hold on, we'll see you tomorrow, and we have one more woman. Here is Jen. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Don.
From Fredneck. Hi, honey. You want to play?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, Jen, how many, you really think you can eat all this pie?
I don't know if I can eat that much pie, but I think I can give it a good, I think I can give it a good enough effort.
Okay. Mm. Beautiful, Jen. Are you beautiful, Jen?
I guess.
You guess.
You guess.
That's really
guess.
Nice. How will you be consuming your pies?
I think clothed.
Clothed. All right. Well, listen, we're offering it up.
Yeah.
Jen?
You haven't decided yet, though, right?
No, I think I've decided.
Okay. All right, Jen. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks.
Hold on a second, please. Yeah. Well, I just want to say this. It's going to be an exciting day tomorrow on the Don and Mike show.
It'll be wonderful.
Going to be making some more radio history. Last week, we went one way with the pies. And this week, we're going another way with the pies.
Fantastic. You might want to throw that sound effect in a couple of times while they're eating their pies.
You'll hear all of it on tomorrow's episode.
You might not need sound effects tomorrow.
Now, TV's Leah Remini has just called us.
Oh, good.
But we're up on a break. So
there.
shall we call her and tell her that we can't talk to her?
No, that won't go well. She's feeling fragile with us now. I think anyway, after the whole Nicole incident of last week.
How about if we have Rob call and just hold the phone up, and Rob just say, "Hey, Don and Mike can't talk to you today. That we're running late."
You know, didn't we do something similar to that one time, and she was not pleased? I think it's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, because I'll get the call in the office later.
Right?
Like, how come I called and you didn't call me back?
We haven't spoken to her for a while. She was supposed to call us last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she got a spay treatment. I mean, a spa treatment.
Careful. So see if you can book her for tomorrow.
She wasn't spayed. No.
It's been forwarded to an automatic voicemail.
Oh, never mind.
She's not there.
All right, let me try the other number that they gave me.
God, I hope Nicole doesn't answer.
She's very busy.
What is it now? What do you want?
Okay, hold on a second.
Let's see what's going on here. Television star Leah. Funny show on Friday. I think it was a repeat. It was a funny one with...
Oh, the one where Kevin's fat?
Oh, God.
I mean, Kevin's fat on every show.
But, I mean, really, they dealt with the fat thing very, very humorously. That would be a sitcom.
All right, now you're calling
her dressing room.
Okay.
The other one was her cell phone.
Okay. Two rings.
If we try to call back...
And now you know this will be a good call if neither line answers.
You'll get a message. Just say, "Hey, it was Rob calling from Don and Mike."
Then forwarded the voice message system. Leah Remini.
Yeah.
Is not available.
Oh, good. Okay.
Hi, Leah. It's Rob Spiewak with the Don and Mike show.
Put it on hold.
And here's Don and Mike.
Now we can act like we got time. Hey, baby, where are you?
Hey, we're waiting to do our big, long interview with you. Where's Leah?
Where are you, Leah?
Leah Remini. Come in, Leah Remini. Well, she's this is her machine, so we have to pass along much love to her answering machine.
Yeah. ML. Call tomorrow.
Love the show on Friday night. It was where you got the big and fat shirt for Kevin. Hysterical.
New episode, King of Queens, tonight, everybody, on CBS. Mm-hmm. Me love you long time.
Well, we were looking forward to a long conversation with you right now.
Hold on a second. Rob, tell her that I'm going to put you on hold. Hold on a second. See if she called tomorrow.
Hey, Leo, it would be great if we could speak to you tomorrow.
You.
So please call Lisa.
You're bad. Well, you're so bad.
We can call you and we can
come to you. We can do a super long conversation with you.
We love you. I miss you. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay. All right. So there you go. The saga with TV star Leah Remini continues. After all, she's
just people.
That's right. She's just people. Let's go to Guy Birdley now. What do you say? Let's go over to Guy.
We've chat for a long time. We love you a long time.
Long time. Well, I do. She's very nice. And she called, but apparently we didn't call back quick enough.
That is correct.
Sorry about that. We didn't jump too quick enough. It's time for a News with Buzz now.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
And Buzz, what is your lead-up story on the made-up news tonight?
Today's headline is the support for America's war effort slipping?
Oh, come on. Okay, well, Mike, we're just people.
Just people.
Just people. Just people. Short attention span.
Okay. No, I'm for it.
Resolve. That's what he said.
Resolve.
This is going to take a long time.
That's
I'm
right.
Behind a prisoner. Short attention span. More important things on the horizon. Season premiere. Allie McBeal tonight.
I saw that picture in the paper. She's got beautiful legs.
Yeah, she's put some weight on her. Okay, stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments. Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. And that, of course, was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
They crave lovely Oreos.
Oh, yeah.
Don and Mike.
Well, we did it last week. Can we do it again?
Don't forget.
The Redskins won two in a row. Can the Don and Mike Gutterballs win two bowling games in a row?
I have confidence.
Tomorrow night, Don and Mike Gutterballs, our semi-pro bowling team, in our next game, our next match, excuse me.
Does somebody else bring home a patch?
Tomorrow night, Tuesday, October 30, 7:30 p.m. at AMF Bowling, and that's in Annandale, Virginia. Don and Mike Gutterballs versus a team called Just Throw the Damn Ball.
Excellent.
We'll see you there tomorrow night, and Buzz Melwood Burbank coming off the bench, off the pine. He will be the fifth bowler tomorrow night on the team.
We're going to have our full complement of five bowlers.
Now, yes. I know that we get on Buzz about the anthrax news every day, but we were just told something that blows my mind here.
What?
At radio station WJFK. I don't know if it's like this at every Infinity station. Remember a couple weeks ago we were goofing on the fact that Infinity's policy to deal with anthrax in the mail was to have one employee go through the mail.
The designated mail person who would be given instructions on how to handle everything.
Well, now, we've not gotten any mail here for, I guess, 3 or 4 days.
Right.
I mean, the mail's arrived, but we've not gotten any of the mail. And if you go out by the front desk, you will see that there are just those you know those big plastic postal service baskets of mail?
Yeah.
They're all out there because the person who was doing the job, Miss Bobby, decided, and who can blame her?
Yeah.
She was tired of spending all day putting on plastic gloves and opening mail.
Understandable.
Looking for anthrax. So now nobody's opening the mail.
Nobody's touching the mail.
Nobody's touching the mail.
And I reiterate, who can blame them?
Yeah. So now there's
this is ridiculous.
Although, you know, listen, I urge you all just to do what I did today up in the office. There was a letter up there.
I don't urge people to do that. I think that what I was looking at our letter was it was just a weird thing. They say when you have an address and a postmark that are, you know, from different places.
But it wasn't a postmark like that came from a post office.
I think
office.
One said Van Nuys, California, and then it had, I still don't remember what the return address was, but it was not related even to the letter, which is weird.
It was from a publicity company,
right.
And the return address was New Jersey.
Right.
That was in the left-hand corner, and in the right-hand corner, not like stamped by the post office or anything, but printed on the envelope was an address in Van Nuys, California.
Right.
And we get that kind of stuff all the time. That's the junk mail we get all the time, where, you know, it goes from Los Angeles to New York and gets routed
here. Well, when you grabbed it from me and ripped it open, I wish you'd given me time to maybe just step out of the room so that if it was the inhaled form, I would be down the... But, I mean, I said that to Don. I said, this is a little weird because, you know, this is what they say. You know, if it's got a return address in one part and then a postmark that's marked differently in another part, and it went something like this.
It's fine.
And that was a moment where, you know, really, if you're going to do that in the future, just give me that much lead time, and I'd be ever so grateful.
And then we had the awful discussion about, well, I was on the lead on the discussion about...
I don't remember what.
No, when we were walking down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
About how much publicity I'd get if I was the first disc jockey.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We had our first DJ stunt.
First DJ to get anthrax.
You could eclipse Rush Limbaugh. And then it became, you know, it would be good, but really that probably is very unlikely. And then we decided it'd be really nice, you know, to do that big scam where we pretend that we've gotten cutaneous anthrax by, like, rubbing our arms really vigorously to create red marks.
You know, like, go and get branches and stuff and scratch our arms off.
Mm-hmm.
And for 3 days until they actually ran the tests on us,
we'd be, you know, just getting all this wonderful publicity. And then we, of course, would be ridden out of town on a rail.
We'd be arrested.
I mean, we would be. And then and we were talking about, we were mentioning the reporters that would be so gleeful covering the story and how we faked our anthrax.
Right, yeah. Because that's a serious crime.
That's
now,
the way
too.
Our minds work.
Yeah.
As we're going down, like really planning it out, and then, of course, realizing what the eventual scenario would be is like, well, two disc jockeys who had received sympathy calls from the President of the United States
were on the way downstairs. And Mike says, you know, seriously, you shouldn't have opened that up. And, you know, I mean, I was half kidding. I said, yeah, but what if it had anthrax? Wow. First disc jockey with anthrax? Man.
Yeah.
God damn, can you imagine the publicity we'd get?
And then we said, well, we wouldn't even have to get it for real. And that's why great ideas are born, though. And then it's like, oh, no, because they test us.
That's
and once
right.
we got
yes.
tested, then we'd be caught.
Yes.
Busted.
That's right. Like the dumbass music.
You know, but
go to jail.
Here's exactly what Your Honor would say. Did you guys do that? We'd say, but Your Honor, we are
just people.
That's right.
We're just people.
Nah, we didn't have it. Sorry about
no.
that.
Or better, you could say, we had it. Where is it? Gone. What happened?
Don't know. Anyway, there's like 4 barrels of mail that remain unopened. So if you've sent us or anyone else here at the radio station a letter...
Rest assured, we will not receive it.
Yeah, good luck.
You know, time to say, hey, keep those emails coming.
That's right.
Now here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. The British military is very much with us in Afghanistan, but we may be losing the support of the British press. The London Times Mirror headline today reads, "This war is a fraud." Quoting the story, after 3 weeks of bombing, not a single terrorist implicated in the attacks on America has been caught or killed in Afghanistan. A headline from the London Daily Telegraph reads in part, "Support for war falters." That article says the U.S.-led war effort lacks direction. Even American reporters are starting to question the apparent lack of progress in Operation Enduring Freedom. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld was asked if he thinks the war effort's getting bogged down. No, he said Afghanistan is not a quagmire. He says it's going very much as expected. On Face the Nation, John McCain said, "We're going to have to put troops on the ground. Probably casualties will be involved. It won't be accomplished by air power alone."
I'm amazed at how short people's memories are. I mean,
how quickly they lost interest.
Phenomenal. I mean, as Rumsfeld said during a press conference, not their hearing, their memories. He said it's been 3 weeks.
No, what are you right. talking about?
3 weeks.
The war effort, remember? America United?
Huh?
Resolve? Stick with it till the end?
Why am I seeing all these flags everywhere?
There you go. What have you done for me lately?
Quoting former National Security Advisor Robert McFarlane, "Everybody in Afghanistan ought to know we're coming in and hell's coming with us." When asked if the U.S. might assassinate terrorist leaders, Rumsfeld answered, "You bet your life, and we're doing it."
Mm-hmm.
That's the right answer, incidentally.
Yeah, I mean, no let up. Come on now. And, you know, I'm tired of people in the press telling me what I think. And that's what they seem to be doing. The American people are getting, there may be signs that they're getting tired. No, I remember what he said. He said resolve.
The people in New York are resolved, and they remember over 9,000 people who lost loved ones in the World Trade Center attack went to Ground Zero yesterday for a memorial. Red Cross workers handed out
tissues. Just people.
Comforted the grieving friends and relatives. For many of the people in the overflow crowd, it was closure some 6 weeks after their loss. Family members were given wooden urns containing dirt from the rubble. On the urns was etched the date, 9/11/01. Not much to report about the A word today. Can probably do it in 30 seconds or less.
Really? I'd do it in 20.
Well, I'll do what I can. The Supreme.
All right, come on, do
remember,
it 20.
I have 5 on account.
Ready?
Go.
The Supreme Court's convened in a different courtroom today, and that was apparently a wise decision since traces of anthrax have now been found in the mailroom of the Supreme Court's main building. It's the first time in more than 60 years the court's met somewhere other than its own building. Postal officials, meanwhile, say 14 people have been arrested for making false anthrax threats and 9 others facing prosecution. If you make a false threat, quoting one official, we're going to put you in jail.
Well, you're on your free 5 now.
Okay, I'm done. I made it. I did it in the 20.
There you
keep
go.
5
there
seconds on account.
Way to go.
Thank you, the listener's friend.
Now, to show the terrorists we won't stay in our homes, President Bush will be in Yankee Stadium tomorrow night for the third game of the World Series. It's not because he's a Yankees fan. Last week, he told a Chinese reporter his loyalty's with Seattle, partly because they make so much less money than Yankees players.
Excuse me, Mr. President.
Yeah?
Are you a New York Yankee fan?
Hell no. They're all overpaid babies.
We have some other questions from a Chinese press.
Well, just don't make me put that damn jacket on. I don't want to put that throw pillow on again, please.
Who else has a question for President Bush about the World Series?
Yeah. I hear you. You want to rephrase that? Oh, ma'am, I'm sorry. You sound like a guy. Man, you got bad teeth. Oh, I'd love to. And as soon as the press conference is over. Tell your mama to go home. Well, Qingdao Gao to you too.
The White House says Bush was also a long-suffering owner and fan of the Texas Rangers, who's seen his team lose so often to the mighty Yankees. About 1,500 of New York's finest will pick up cameras and weapons and bring bomb-sniffing dogs into the stadium for extra security tomorrow night.
I gotta play this for Bush. I gotta play the dumbass song. That's real smart, dumbass. You know, I mean, even if you don't really like the Yankees, saying that you root for the other team when you're going to New York to be at Yankee Stadium tomorrow night.
Yeah, not a good move.
Dumbass.
One police official tells the New York Post it'll be the most secure sporting event anyone can remember.
D.A.B.
F-16 fighter jets will
dumbass Bush
patrol the skies before the game, and all other air traffic will be banned over the stadium.
D.A.P.
Doctors in New York.
Dumbass president. Buzz, hold on. We got a break. Before you do Doctors in New York, we got a break. We'll all be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I thought it was going to be a better one than that. Nah, screw it. No, now I got to get it out. Damn it.
Nice.
Thank you.
Based on love, mutual love, and love of others.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Listen, giving away money we are. And we want to thank the good people at Simply Wireless, Sprint PCS. Call 1-888-222-8484 to find out more about a Sprint PCS plan. They're bankrolling the whole show tomorrow with a big pumpkin pie eat-off. It'll be a vomitorium in here tomorrow.
All right.
Maybe with topless girls. It'll be fun. You don't want to miss it. Part of our holiday spooktacular.
Yay!
And now once again, here's Guy Birdley. Hi, Guy.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, the difficult commute to work should have been a little easier for a lot of New Yorkers today. The NNR subway trains were finally back in service, giving some much-needed relief to the rush hour.
Good, good.
Yes, both trains connect Brooklyn and Queens to downtown, but a few of the subway stops are still closed, either because of damage or because they're so close to Ground Zero. One commuter says it's spooky riding under the disaster scene, and you can still smell the acrid smoke in that area from the destruction of the Twin Towers. The doctors in New York are busy dealing with something they've come to call the WTC syndrome. A lot of people, especially firefighters, have been having trouble breathing since September 11th. Their lungs were filled with the thick dust from the collapse of the Twin Towers.
Good.
Their symptoms include chronic coughing, sinus infections, and asthma. Nearly half the 11,000 firefighters who worked around the rubble in the first days after the coughing.
Oh, dear.
Your satellite TV service may have a new owner. General Motors has agreed to sell its Hughes Division DirecTV to rival EchoStar, which owns Dish TV.
What will that do for me?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. The sale may or may not go through. Many government officials are concerned about what would be a near monopoly on satellite TV service in the U.S.
I was wondering, too, how it would affect you.
Because it could very well...
Have you...
Come on, TV's important to me.
It is. I think it's going to be good.
Satellite TV's very important to me.
I think it's going to be good because we're not big fans. Neither you nor I are big fans of DirecTV, just the way they handle you most of the time, you know? And I think maybe... from that standpoint, maybe it will.
But they're the only game in town. I mean, like.
Well, now more so.
They would be now. If you want the Sunday ticket, if you want all the NFL games, they're it.
This can't bode well because now anything that there would have been to keep it better is just going to be gone. And they're going to own it all.
No more competition. Thank you, Rob. No more competition.
Bad. Bad.
Thank you, Rob Spiewak, ladies and gentlemen.
Those same government officials were equally worried that Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox TV and Europe's Sky TV, would buy the service.
No good.
They also considered that arrangement too much of a monopoly.
Rupert Murdoch, g'day.
K-Pax was the number one movie over the weekend. It sold $17.5 million worth of tickets.
Your produce alone was worth the trip.
Great line. 13 Ghosts came in second with over $15.5 million.
Pretty good movie there. I just wish that Shannon Doherty would take her shirt off.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the point?
How's she looking now?
She's a cute girl, but she's a sucky actress. But what's the point of having her in a movie if she doesn't take her shirt off?
Amen. Exactly. From Hell dropped to third place, followed by Riding in Cars with Boys. Training Day rounded out the top five.
What movie is Shannon Doherty in?
American Pie.
Oh, really? Is it Shannon Doherty?
Shannon Elizabeth.
Yeah, Shannon
Doherty. Oh, no, Shannon Doherty. I'm sorry. She's the girl from 90210.
Ah.
And Shannon Elizabeth is the girl who's in the 13 Ghosts.
Ah, okay. All right.
She's a POA.
Oh, yeah.
Paula Jones, whose name is permanently linked with the Clinton presidency, has gotten married.
Oh, good. They'll be beautiful children.
35-year-old
That's
Jones.
That's Paula Zahn, incidentally.
No, Paula Jones in this story.
I'm just trying to, you know, cover up my other screw up there.
She married 39-year-old...
When I said Shannon Doherty.
Right.
When I meant Shannon Elizabeth.
Shannon Elizabeth. Well, Paula Jones married...
You know what screwed you up there, and this is why it's wrong? You got two first names happening.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And she shouldn't have that kind of a name. It's a confusing name.
Shannon!
For those who serve.
Hey, give her some candy!
Right now!
The guy's name is Stephen Mark. He's 39. Paula Jones is 35.
Guy, another two first names.
They got married
right,
in Arkansas.
Stephen Mark.
Mm-hmm. Jones' sexual harassment suit against former President Clinton led to the discovery of his affair with intern Monica Lewinsky and the eventual Senate impeachment trial.
Just people.
This is Jones' second marriage.
Buzz, let's clear these lines out.
All right.
877-365-3636, your national line from D.C., 202-432-1067. Call 100 right now. Prize package selected especially for you. And now much more, B-U-double-Z.
Oh, when Tiger Woods, Elizabeth Hurley, and Shaquille O'Neal made strike-busting commercials while the Screen Actors Guild was out, they each had to pay a fine. When three actors with names you've never heard made strike-busting commercials, they got thrown out of the union. George Clooney to the rescue.
Clooney!
Clooney says the three no-names used bad judgment, but should not be treated any more harshly than the actors with names you know.
That's a cool move on his part.
He's offering to pay their fines, and he's urging the actors union to reconsider the punishment. The union says the familiarity of the names had nothing to do with its decision and would like George Clooney to stay out of it. Thank you.
Hey, there's your union.
Right on!
Your forgiving, flexible, bendable union.
Right on.
And leggy former supermodel Cindy Crawford says she named her new daughter Kaya.
Hi.
Because she's always liked the name.
Kaya. Daddy day, daughter day.
There's a brief hello, just brief.
What she didn't know, and what Larry may not know, is...
Kaya King. You see, that's Larry King's daughter's name.
The one he doesn't talk about anymore because he has a new made-to-order family.
And they're Mormons.
That's right. Statuesque Mormons.
What the people with Kayas may not know is that in Jamaica, Kaya is another word for marijuana.
There you go.
That's the one that he highlighted the whole story.
Kaya.
Try to keep you up to date.
Kaya means marijuana.
Don't bogart that Kaya.
That's right. In sports, it's a travel day for the World Series with Game 3 to be played at Yankee Stadium tomorrow night. Arizona leads the series 2-0.
That is unfreaking believable.
Isn't it?
It truly is.
Monday Night Football has Tennessee at Pittsburgh. The Steelers top the AFC Central with a 4-1 record. The Titans are 2-3.
Okay, listen. I asked you not about this. You know, the new Pittsburgh Stadium is Heinz Field.
Right.
Because would they make the ketchup there?
Heinz ketchup fame.
So out front the stadium, they've got a giant 60-foot
ketchup bottle.
And all the mooks in Pittsburgh are going to have their pictures taken.
when the Steelers tonight get into the red zone,
right,
on the big scoreboard, next to the scoreboard, they have giant bottles of ketchup that will turn and start to pour ketchup out. Not real ketchup, but it will be simulated ketchup. Get it? Because the Steelers will be getting in the red zone.
Yeah. Well, you know, always dangerous to mess with anything that resembles blood. Welcome to Heinz Field.
Yeah, Heinz Field. What dope figures that out? When the Steelers...
How can we incorporate...
That's dumbass.
We'll make it the red zone ketchup. Poor thing.
The red zone. Yeah. My wife gets the red zone once a month. God, I pray that the other jurors of the trial that my wife has jury duty, I hope the ketchup bottles aren't turned upside down for them.
Your Honor, can I impose the death penalty in the civil suit?
Yeah. Jury of one.
And finally, David Dewhurst had it right. He knew he had to show patriotism, being Texas's head of Homeland Security.
Just people.
Candidate for lieutenant governor. He knew it would be right and good to show a soldier in front of the American flag in his ad. So there he was, taking up the whole page in Texas Monthly Magazine, the soldier in front of the flag. Just one problem. The soldier in that full-color ad is wearing the uniform of a German Luftwaffe officer. Quoting the ad agency, our graphics consultant made a mistake.
Now, wait a minute. Oh, this guy takes out an ad in support of America.
Right.
And he put a Nazi in it?
Well, the ad agency did. They screwed up.
Was it an old German officer or a new one?
A young one, but he was in a Luftwaffe uniform instead of an American.
From World War II?
From World War II. That's right. Oh, they're very sane. They say it's a mistake.
Welcome to Spiewak Advertising.
Thank you. I hope you like this ad.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No, yes, no. Got to go.
See pictures of Dennis Murphy at Rob and Jennifer's wedding. Go to either DonandMikeFans.com or go to DennisMurphy.com.
Right.
Tomorrow night, Don and Mike Gutter Balls at AMF. AMF Lanes in Annandale, Virginia. We will be bowling a team called Just Throw the Damn Ball.
Yeah, I can't wait.
That's tomorrow night at 7:30. Love to see you there. And tomorrow on the show, Palmatorium Central with a big pumpkin pie eat-off. We're going to start the show with 40 pies. And time limits, and you heard the whole thing. You won't want to miss it. That's on tomorrow's episode. Number 100, hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I am caller 100.
Yes, you are. Hi, what's your name?
Chris from Connecticut.
Chris from Connecticut. Chris, you won the Shrek prize pack. An outstanding gift this is. That's a 52-week rental card from Blockbuster Video. So go to Blockbuster every week and get yourself a DVD. Shrek is coming to video right now, Blockbuster. Buy a 10-week rental card and get a free DVD or VHS copy of Shrek when it comes to Vario on November 2nd. Chris, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Don and Mike and Buzz.
Enjoy. Thank you for listening. And that's it. Thanks for all the great phone calls today. That's the best part of doing this show.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we didn't have bits and junk we didn't get to today, and we'll get to them tomorrow. Except tomorrow they're doing the pie-eating contest. So
yeah, then we'll do it the next day.
The next day. Well, whatever. We'll see you then. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
That's a good problem to have when you got too many bits to cram into a show.
Amen.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And Rob.
I'll put him in the pit vault.
Please throw that hat in the air, Rob. Just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You might just make it after all.
Oh, yeah. A punching guy. Down goes Spiewak.
Just people. We'll see you tomorrow. Oh, yes, and thanks to Howard Cosell's grandson for calling the show today.
So long, everybody.
We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.